1,000. Every time a Cash Fever jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cash Creek Casino Resort.
1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
This is CBS News. I'm Jim Taylor. Gobbling up Google, YouTube is the victim.
This is a major coup for Google because with buying YouTube, it has now become the leader in online video. And this is a growing area and opens up a lot of new revenue streams for Google.
CBS business reporter Alexis Christophorus. It's a major windfall for the 27-year-olds behind YouTube. $1.6 billion worth of stock. CBS tech analyst Larry Magid.
Google is worth over $130 billion, and even cash, you know, they didn't use cash, but they have $10 billion of cash sitting around. So this is a company that can afford an expensive acquisition.
North Korea does what it says it would. Is it a successful nuclear test?
Andrew Miliano at the United Nations.
I'm very much proud of our scientists and the researchers who have conducted such a very, very successful nuclear underground test.
North Korea's ambassador says the Security Council here should be congratulating his country instead of passing useless resolutions. That's not going to happen. And the Security Council is considering a resolution that will hardly be useless. Proposed sanctions are said to include a trade ban on military and luxury items, inspections of all cargo entering and leaving the country, and freezing all assets connected with its weapons program.
I'm Mark Noller at the White House. The U.S. government still cannot say for sure if North Korea detonated a nuclear weapon. Spokesman Tony Snow says the data continues to be analyzed, and a determination could come as early as today or within the next day or two. But Snow says whatever happened, it was clearly a provocative act.
People on the street reacting in New Orleans.
It'll end up being military. I don't think diplomatically anything will be done.
Let them have nuclear power to destroy us? No. No. We have to defend our country.
An all too common scene in Iraq these days. A somber funeral procession, this time for the brother of Iraq's vice president, third sibling he's had murdered in partisan violence. 2,748 members of the American military have died in the Iraq War, the latest three Marines killed in the Anbar province. Do you approve of the way the administration is handling the war? If you do, you're way in the minority.
The president gets only a 30% approval rating on the handling of the situation in the war in Iraq. The overall approval rating now in this poll is only 34%.
Director of Surveys Kathy Frankovic, the CBS News New York Times poll. A 13-year-old and an AK-47 assault rifle greeting the school principal in Joplin, Missouri this morning.
You can't even send your kids to school. Trust that some crazy fool is not going to come in and shoot the place up.
This is CBS News.
Tiger Balm presents football superstar Jerry Rice.
Foxtrot. I can't believe I'm dancing with Jerry Rice.
I can't believe dancing is as hard as playing wide receiver.
Tango.
I'm sorry.
You okay?
Yeah. How do you manage all the aches and pain?
Tiger Balm.
Really?
Tiger Balm works fast and lasts a long time.
Samba.
Whoa. Oh, sorry. I'm such a klutz.
Maybe we should stop.
No, just get me some Tiger Balm.
You sure?
Just get me the Tiger Balm.
If you suffer from aches and pains, go for the balm. Tiger Balm. Now in a convenient, easy-to-apply patch. At drugstores, mass discount stores, supermarkets, and health food stores everywhere.
They came, they built, they conquered. Pyramids as tall as skyscrapers, great walls over 4,000 miles long, roads that crossed entire continents. Accomplishments so amazing, experts say. How did they do that? From the producers of the Emmy Award-winning special on Rome comes a monumental new series, Engineering an Empire. It begins with Egypt, tonight at 9, 8 Central, only on the History Channel.
The market's closing up today. The Dow finishing up 7.5 points. The NASDAQ up 12. Today is Eco-Debt Day. Details now from CBS's Vicky Barker in London.
You've heard of Tax Freedom Day. Well, this is the ecological opposite. The day we start gobbling up resources faster than nature can renew them. And Ecological Debt Day keeps getting earlier every year.
If the Earth were a business, we'd be asking some serious questions about where we're going.
Ruth Potts of the New Economics Foundation. Mainstream economists argue mankind will be able to think or invent its way out of ecological trouble. The environmentalists aren't so sure. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
Imagine having nothing to keep you alive but a handful of crackers. Following a car crash in which he was not visible from the road, that's all diabetic Raymond Vachon had to sustain himself for 4 days with a broken leg.
Honestly, I think it's a miracle. I was very concerned as, you know, as days went by that it wasn't going to be a happy ending.
Local and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Five minutes after 3 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7 o'clock, 3 to 7, weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. And there's a lot to alert you to. We are going to be joined just for a few minutes, I think, or maybe a little bit longer, by Arianna Huffington in the 4 o'clock hour. Her new book is called On Becoming Fearless, Love, Work, and Life. So Arianna Huffington, whom you know from when she used to be a Republican, and now she's the founder of the HuffingtonPost.com, which usually has a lot of really good stuff, and it's become a go-to liberal website. She joins us in the 4 o'clock hour. Wednesday, we are going to be joined by Elaine Petrocelli, who is the owner of one of the finest independent bookstores in the country, and that's Book Passage in Corte Madera. And the subject is fall reads and what we ought to be looking at. Lots of new books coming out. Speaking of which, those of you who have credit slips, credit gift memos, and so on from Tower, I guess now is the time to redeem them. Gosh, I am so sorry that they are closing. I don't know what I'm going to do. 16th and Broadway was sort of a haven for me always. And without Tower there, I just, the bookstore and the video and audio and the, that whole little complex there, I think we are going to be all the poorer for it. You may have some thoughts, but I was there yesterday trying to, gift certificates that I guess you better redeem now because they think they're only going to be open for a few more weeks. So there, everybody was in a buying frenzy, but it wasn't that, the markdowns weren't that great. The bookstore was only about 20%, which it was anyway for the hardbacks. Now everything was 20%, and I think on the CDs and stuff, it's about, on the music, it's about 10% off. But I imagine that as all the good stuff gets picked off and there's more and more junk, they'll probably go down in terms of price. But I'm sorry that they're going. I want to remind you that you can email me, enid@kctc.com. We stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. Click on my webpage, and you can always see what's coming up and who the guests are and any kind of information that we have. We're getting better about keeping that up to date. Or I'm getting, you know, it's not, I should be better about keeping it up to date. So. But we have ways in which we want to entice you to become a Left Channel Legionnaire, so check that out because we're always giving away tickets and things like that. You could win things by going to 1320leftchannel.com. Our numbers, always toll-free, 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. How many of you listened to the debate or watched it on Saturday night? How many of you tuned in because we had a special edition here, special election coverage hosted by all three of us, and that would be Scott Sims and me, the best trifecta in all of Sacramento talk radio. How many of you listened? How many of you listened to the debate? How many of you listened afterwards to the program? There were things that I wanted to, we didn't have a whole lot of time because it moved so quickly and there were so many of you who called, but there were lots of things that we didn't really dwell on that I was thinking about, and the spin has been incredible. Oh, by the way, I want to tell you that on the morning retort, Dr. Helen Caldicott, tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, Nobel Peace Prize winner, environmental, anti-nuclear activist and author. She will be the guest on Morning Retort with Scott and Sims, 5:30 to 9 here on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. So if you want to weigh in, if you weren't able to get in on Saturday and you have thoughts about the debate, there has been a lot going on. And let me begin with something I didn't realize and didn't find out about until after the debate. I went down there to Sac State to the debate site and to the press room and scoped it out, and I knew that Nancy Pelosi was there, and I knew that Maxine Waters was there. These are people all supporting Phil Angelides. And I don't know who was, and there were only about 300, and they were all invited guests to the debate. I'm not talking about the press, but the guests. 300, and it was like 100 from his side and 100 from his side and 100 from, I forget where in the middle. What I didn't know, because I wasn't checking my email traffic, is that I had gotten, and I'm surprised that I had gotten there, I had gotten on the Schwartzy email blast list. I don't know how that happened. I don't know whether they took whoever was credentialed and started. They started spinning while the debate was still underway. They were spinning before the debate even ended. And all of it made Schwartzy look like he was the winner and Phil look like he was a big loser. And that really wasn't my perception of it at all. Schwartzy looked tense from the moment it started. It looked like he was counting out the seconds until it was over. He was heavily made up. He had better camera presence. What Phil didn't do is Phil did not look into the right camera. So Phil always looked like he was off at an angle. He might have been looking at the audience, but he was never looking at the camera. And I'm surprised that somebody on his staff didn't tell him that. But of the two, I thought that Phil did a far better job than Schwartzy, but you would never know that looking at the spin. And I don't mean spin. I mean major spin. I mean I probably got 20 emails during and after, shortly after the debate on Saturday night. I got about 10 or so on Sunday, and I got a handful today. I mean, they are relentless. They don't stop. It's quoting Democrats who say what a loser Phil is and that Phil didn't do well and so on. And I really think that begins to have an effect on people. Besides which, we know that Schwartzy leads by double digits. And we know that he, you know, unless some miracle happens, he probably is going to win. I think Phil did a really good job. I think that he really acquitted himself very well. Did he hit a knockout punch? I don't think he did, but I don't know if it was possible for anybody to hit a knockout punch. And here is what was really upsetting. That moderator, Stan Statham, was horrible, and he was always nagging at Phil, and he hardly had any criticism for Arnold. Did you notice that? He came down far harder on Phil, and he hardly came down on Arnold at all. Stan Statham has been for 20 years, almost 20 years, was a Republican legislator. He's head of the California Broadcasters Association, and as George Skelton put it in his Los Angeles Times column, had been a small town, small market broadcaster, and you know, it showed. And the other thing that I don't know if we made clear enough, the part of what is wrong with this whole universe is that everything now has become the subject of focus groups. Focus groups determine everything. Focus groups determined the questions that were going to be taken up at the debate. Focus groups were underway, plugged into the anchor upstairs while the debate was going on. So that if the focus group didn't like how long they were spending on a question, or didn't like the question, or thought that people should move on, the focus group was signaling the moderator, Stan Statham. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. So, if you think about focus groups, I mean, think for a moment what focus groups do. When they ask you, what do you want to see or what do you want to hear on radio, all you can answer is what you have heard before. What you can't answer is something that has never taken place before, that you have no experience with. So, for example, Rush Limbaugh became immensely successful in talk radio. But before he did, would anybody have answered a focus group by saying, I want somebody who does what Rush does, A, B, and C? Because Rush hadn't been invented yet. He hadn't come on the scene yet. So all focus groups can tell you, basically, is A, what they think they want you to hear, and B, what people have had experience with. I'm not saying that they're completely wrong or that they're completely off base, but what they can offer is limited. So everybody agrees that this was the worst possible format for a debate. It was supposed to be a conversation. What we were told was that there was not going to be any kind of a time limit at all on the responses, and then Stan Statham got furious at Phil, and then he started to impose a time limit, and then he kept saying that the people upstairs, the focus group, wanted people to, you know, that we'd spent too much time on this particular question, wanted to move on. I mean, the whole thing was kind of a joke. However, given all of that, I thought Phil did well. Did he do well enough? I don't know. I just got this email from one of you, and this is from Kelly. She says, my big issue with Angelides is the development deals he got pushed through the floodplain. I think it's a gigantic conflict of interest to have the governor of any state have a personal stake in developing this sort of thing. I envision there's a hell of a lot of money that could be made. I'll be holding my nose and voting for Arnie. What I did is I emailed her back and said that Arnold's biggest monies are coming from developers, and that legislation that would have prevented building on floodplains, building homes on floodplains, got tabled recently because of all this money, I think, coming in from the developers. I think you should hold your nose. If you're going to hold your nose and vote for anybody, hold your nose and vote for Phil. 349-1320-866-620-613-20. Let's head over to the phones and to Karen in Galt. Hi, Karen. You're live with Enid on AM 1320.
Hi, Enid. I just wanted to say that I really thought the moderator didn't give Angelides enough time to talk. He kept cutting him off and gave Arnold way more time to answer a question.
And didn't he sound like a pissed off school marm too? You know, you're taking too long. You're doing too much.
Yeah,
blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
and then he directed it. You're absolutely right. First of all, he directed it to Phil more than he did to Arnold. And Arnold was filibustering too. The opening statements were all a recycled stump speech is what that was all about.
Yeah, I just hope that people could see through it. You know, that it was just so staged to be totally for the Republicans. And then they got off and they were on the news and they immediately started acting like Angelides didn't have a chance. And I agree with you. I think he did a good job. He couldn't do any better of a job that he had because of the way the questions were formed.
I think he did very well. I think I don't, there are always moments, I suppose, when you can seize a bull by the horn and turn it around and go on the attack. But I thought he did a really good job, and I thought he went farther to consolidate his base. And I want to ask a question that nobody is asking. Where is Steve Wesley? Steve Wesley said that when he lost the primary, he was going to be the good loser and help Angelides win. Where has he been? What has he done? He has become even less visible than Phil, if that's possible.
I know. I don't know. Where is he?
Where is he? Where's Wesley? You know, when he didn't win, he took his checkbook and he skulked back into the East Bay or into the
hiding.
He went back to Silicon Valley, I guess.
Yeah.
Thanks, Karen. 349-1320-866-620-613-20. Did any of you listen to our post-election coverage? And what are your thoughts about the debate? Because there's a lot. Oh, there are all these stories that are now coming out. George Skelton thought that, and I normally agree with most of what George says. I do not agree with him. He thought that Arnold did better in the debate. I do not think so. I think Arnold was tense, and I think the reason that even somebody like me got on the blast list for Arnold's people is because they knew that he lost it, and they were going to spin it any way they could to make it seem as though he had won. Mike in Sac, hi. You're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hi, Enid. That was very contrived, the whole debate. And I'm wondering where yesterday or the day before Schwarzenegger went to Watts. And I'm wondering where Diane Watson is.
You're wondering where what?
Oh, our Representative Diane Watson.
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, I'm just curious because after the debate, I mean, the first place Arnold went was to Watts to get favor in the black community. Because that's a large portion of Los Angeles.
Well, so did Phil. Phil went to the black community as well the next day. Everybody went to the black community.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah. 349-1320. I don't know. I'm looking for Steve Wesley. I don't know. He's looking for Diane Watson. Well, we're dispatching search parties all over the place. Oh, here it is. Local firefighters, police officers, and teachers will express outrage at Schwartz's comments made during the debate that the ideas behind his failed 2005 special election agenda are still good ideas. The press conference will take place prior to Schwartz's appearance in Sacramento this afternoon, and I guess it happened at 2:30 at the DoubleTree Sacramento. So, well, it happened before we got on the air, so there was no way to talk about that. Remember that if you haven't registered to vote yet, you have only until October 23rd to do so. So that's the last day to register for this election. Angelitas, the Los Angeles Times, has reported a number of different things. Oh, well, wait a minute. This is the San Francisco Chronicle, and you can see the two. It depends on who was looking at this. We all saw the same debate. But depending on who saw it, you got a whole different point of view. Here's San Francisco Chronicle. In a relatively uneventful debate Saturday night with no clear winner, Phil Angelides, underdog for governor, may have come out ahead by simply sharing the stage with Arnold. After 2 months of Schwartzy hogging the spotlight by cutting deals with lawmakers and staging elaborate bill-signing ceremonies that he had private monies paying a fortune for, and after numerous polls suggested bad news for Angelitas, the Democrat finally spent a day on equal footing with the Republican governor he's trying to unseat. You know what? I think he did a good job. And I'm wondering what you think. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Pete in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Pete. Pete?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome. You're on the air.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to comment on the debate. I think you mentioned that the moderator tried to, was unfair to...
Pete, you've got to turn your radio off.
Oh, okay. Hang on.
No, not hang on. Well, I'm sorry. I'll talk to you later. I mean, at Goldstein, you're listening, too. AM 30. We tell you to keep your radio off, and we do it for a reason. Because just exactly the reason you just heard, there is a delay. And when there's a delay like that, it gets everybody confused. And the reason we have the delay is so that obscenities don't go out over the air. So please, 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 when Lauren tells you, keep your radio down or off, listen to what she has to say. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
I'll tell you, speaking of delay, southbound 99 by Fruit Ridge Road. Hello. Usually, there's a couple of car crash there. Stacy Avenue at Stockton Boulevard. Farrells Boulevard, Sunset, Magnolia Road and Lakeshore, Madison Avenue and Hazel Avenue, Wright Rock Road just east of Scott Roads, Twin Cities Road at Laguna Road, and a possible fatality there. We do have emergency vehicles are blocking the lane. And I just, a quick piece of advice for everyone in traffic. You know, every single day I come to work, and I guess I get a little irritated with the not the blinker thing, but I'll tell you what's very important to use your blinker when you're merging. And I think some of these accidents have to do with that. So try to use the blinker today. That'll be that one thing. Heated Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
The color pink represents the promise to find a cure for breast cancer. That promise started the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation and ignited the passion of millions to create a world without breast cancer. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We are reaching out to you to make a difference this month by making a personal donation to the Komen Foundation and by showing your passion for the cure by wearing pink one or more days in October. Anything you can do to heighten the awareness of this cause can make a difference. To share your promise and to donate funds to our passion, log on to 1320 Left Channel.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Right to choose the left.
One of the most important things in your life.
It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hello, citizens of the world.
Want to keep up on what's going on in your community? Go to the events page at 1320leftchannel.com.
The first step on the road back to reality.
You'll find out about political happenings, cultural events, concerts, and more.
Really? They thought of everything.
Don't just sit there. Do something and make a difference.
Make a difference.
If we don't act now, it's going to be too late.
Find out how you can get involved. And be sure to bookmark it. The events page at 1320leftchannel.com.
How would you like to cut your mortgage?
sure you listen to AM 1320. Sometimes you call in. That's great. You vote. I'm very proud of you. You're doing the right thing. But sometimes you need to get out there and pound the pavement, and you need to knock on some doors, maybe make a few phone calls.
Please volunteer in the upcoming November 2006 election. The Sacramento Democratic Party has three opportunities for you to volunteer in the area. The first is the Northeast Sacramento Democratic Headquarters at 4142 Sunrise Boulevard in Fair Oaks. The phone number is 961-8877. The other is the Elk Grove Democratic Campaign Headquarters at 3137 Dwight Road, Suite 500 in Elk Grove, just north of Laguna Boulevard. Their phone number is 421-0202. And finally, the Phil Angelides campaign, which is located at the corner of 21st and N Street. And their phone number is 448-1998. Please volunteer in this very important upcoming election.
Get out there. Action is necessary.
Want to get to the...
New rule, stop whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. For a good time, call Enid at 349-1320, Sacramento's left channel.
327 on the Monday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7 on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Mondays through Fridays, you can always find me here. And last Saturday, you could find Scott Sims and me right here. Doing special coverage during and after, before, during, and after, actually, the debate. And here's the Los Angeles Times. Here's their headline. Angelides is seen as a drag on the party. Worried Democrats who are down tickets are concerned that Angelides, because he may be going down, that he will take them down as well. Here is the Los Angeles Times was blogging during the debate, and they were talking about how Angelides was looking left for some reason. He doesn't look straight into the camera. Why didn't somebody from his staff inform him that he needed to do that? I really thought that of the two, that Angelides looked like he really knew what he was talking about, that he had thought about these issues. He seemed relaxed. Arnold, to me, looked tense. Am I the only one who thought this? Is it just because I think Angelides is a better candidate and I'm so biased I can't see it? Or did Arnold's spin machine do the job that Phil's spin machine did not? Emily and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Emily.
Hi, Enid. My comment is that if you just listen and not look at these people where they're looking, of course, Arnold is an accomplished actor acting out the part forever. And Angelides is not an actor. But when you just listen, he sounded so much more intelligent. If he invoked anything, it was what he built up. Whereas Arnold had to resort to invoking Uncle Teddy's name and Thanksgiving dinner.
Well, Arnold had these little set pieces he was going to use, and he was going to wedge them in there wherever he could.
Yeah, how cheap is that? Their politics are not even anything alike.
How cheap is that? I'm going to tell you something. The only reason they had one grudgingly held debate on the lowest viewership night in television, which is Saturday night, on a night when there was significant competition in terms of playoffs, in terms of all kinds of other things going on, a fleet week in the city, all kinds of stuff going on Saturday night anyway, and more this particular Saturday night, and restricted restricted it to about 55 or 60 minutes of ridiculous focus group questions moderated by a hack. I mean, I cannot believe how badly done this was. This is, say, California is the sixth largest economy in the world. And here, this was junior high. And I'm telling you, Schwartzy was counting out those seconds because he can't handle it without a script.
Absolutely. And how can Democrats anywhere give any credence to this guy when compared to somebody that's intelligent? What? We don't have intelligence in our party? I've been a Democrat for 50 years, and I'm outraged to hear that anybody would give Schwarzenegger a higher score than Angelina.
Because Emily, people are voting celebrity. They're not voting the issues. I thank you for the call. 349-1320. Phil Trautstein, who is heads the San Jose University Center for Policy and Research, said that the debate was a loser. He said it was the worst governor's debate I have ever watched. He said it was a ridiculous format. It was absurd. There were no decent questions. They just did campaign speeches. Here. He's right about that. Patricia and Sac, hi. You're live with Enid. Hi, Patricia.
Hey, Enid. Enid, I agree with you in the last caller. I did watch almost the majority of the debate, and I have to say, you know, not just because I'm a Democrat, but Phil got into the specifics of what his plan was. For example, he mentioned the corporate loopholes, that he was going to close those up. He was going to ask those making $500,000 or more a year to help fund a, you know, top-of-the-line education, you know, comprehensive health care system, you know, something that would give our state, you know, where we're not, what are we, ranked 40th in the nation now for education?
What did he say? Mississippi does better than, Mississippi does better than we do or
something like that?
Yeah. I forget.
We're like at the bottom right now. And I have to confirm those facts, but I'm pretty sure he's correct on that. And that's a sad state. I mean, people here who make all this money, the millionaires here, should be ashamed of that, thinking, you know, that we have a system that we're, you know, we're the, like you said, the sixth largest economy in the world, and we have one of the worst educational systems. But he gave specifics, and if you notice, every time Arnold responded to a question, it was very general.
It was a memorized response. It wasn't to the point, because he can't, he doesn't have the juice. He doesn't have the background. He doesn't have the history. But what he does have is an extremely slick campaign apparatus. He's got celebrity, so he knew if he caked on enough of that tan, he was tan to beat the band.
Well, the only thing, Enid, I regretted that Phil didn't do is when he was talking about how Arnold wants to privatize the pension plans for the firemen and the policemen, he didn't say, I wanted him to ask Arnold, give me an example of somewhere in the world where this has been done and what people have gotten back in, you know, an investment has been either equally to what they're getting now or better.
All right, Patricia, I thank you very much. 349-1320. And before we get any further, I have some people that I want to thank that in all the chaos of bringing you the debate, I neglected to do that. I want to thank Lauren Haley, who kept us rolling on the air. I want to thank Lisa West, who also kept us rolling on the air. And I want to thank Charlie Weiss. Everybody really pitched in and did a terrifically heroic effort so that we could bring you a special edition, special election coverage, AM 1320. Now, remember, we're 5 minutes old. Look what we've done already. We've brought you State of the Union address where we could talk at the same time that Dickie was talking and tell you the truth. He was moving his lips, but I was doing the talking. And we brought you this wonderful debate and the coverage afterward, and this is just the beginning. More to come. But your homework assignment for this to happen is to tell 3 to 5 people every single day that we are here. 349-1320, 866-620, 61320. Mike in Roseville. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Enid, you're doing a good job. Keep it up.
Thank you.
We left town and we weren't able to watch the Arnold and Phil, but I listened to a portion of it until we lost the reception in the mountains. But I can tell you, and it's not because you want Phil to win. Arnold is like George Bush. He sounds like a dummy. He just doesn't pull it together.
He doesn't pull it together, but I'm telling you, it is like the Dickey campaign, the George W. Bush campaign. People are going to vote for him anyway. They have already decided he's their guy, and it doesn't matter that he can't answer the questions intelligently. He sort of pretends to get through it, and as long as they don't have too many debates, he'll manage it. And people have decided he's going to be the standard bearer, and I'm going to tell you, the moment that the election is over, he's going to revert back to type.
Yep, I agree. So I'm still concentrating on dumping Doolittle, though. We're going to get rid of that weenie.
Well, I hope we are going to get rid of that weenie. More letters to the editor in the paper today, more negative press, and also some information about Pombo that I'll share as we continue. Mike, I thank you for the call. 349-1320-866-620-1320. Jack in Roseville. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Jack.
Hello.
Hi. You know, I cannot greet you at the airport. If I were to run into you at the airport, Jack, I would not be able to say hello to you.
Why?
Because your name is Jack, and if I said, hi, Jack, they'd throw me, the TSA would throw me right into the pokey.
Well, my son works for the TSA, so you're in good hands.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, I just wanted to mention that I watched the first few minutes of the debate, and it got boring real quick, and the one thing that turned me off was that Arnold tried to insinuate that Angelides had joy in his eye when he was talking about taxes.
Did you have the same feeling about that line that I had, which is he had concocted it way in advance, and he was waiting just for the right moment to insert it into the conversation? That one, and where were you? You were taunting. Where were you? They came by. Where were you? Why didn't you come out when there was some sort of a protest? Where were you, Phil? See, they were hoping for these bites to come out and be circulated widely.
Well, there should have been a protest right there on the spot after the first 5 minutes by some people that, you know, if I'd have been there in the audience, I would have been jumping up and screaming. And I would take Arnold on personal. I would invite him outside. I'll put it that way. And I would win
Well,
and I'm 67 years old. That's how juvenile that guy is.
Jack, I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-620-1320. Are there any Republicans listening, or conservatives, or people who saw or listened to the debate and felt that Arnold really won that debate? And why did he wear that awful green tie? What was that all about? Is it the color of money? It was like a secret message to developers and the big money interests saying, I'm yours. I'm rolling over for you. Give me money and I am yours. 349-1312, which reminds me, there's another scandal brewing in Washington. There's a woman who has been running an escort service that very possibly had links to Duke Cunningham. And guess what? She was hiring college-educated girls to be in her escort service, and the IRS has been looking after her for a couple of years, and she just got busted, and she's got a big home in Northern California. So when you're driving around and you say, who buys those big homes? Well, here's this woman who's been running, well, a whorehouse. So I'm laughing to myself. She's got whores who are servicing the whores in Washington. Ha! I mean, these whores are all birds of a feather, as my mother would say. 349-1320, 866-620-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Monday, otherwise heart attack or heartbreak edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
You know, Enid, earlier I just want to mention that one of our callers said that Arnold was an accomplished actor. First of all, I can't believe you let that slide. That just blows my mind.
Right, you think he's an unaccomplished actor?
Well, you know, I mean, here, listen to this. Ready? I'll be Bach. Sounds good, right? I mean,
you could do that. You could do Arnold.
You damn right I could. I could do
Arnold. You could be the girly man that he really is underneath all that makeup.
Yes, I want to tell you about the traffic this afternoon.
Okay.
Stacy Avenue at Stockton Boulevard. We have a 3-car crash. Now, a possible fatality. Twin Cities Road at Laguna Road is. Emergency vehicles are on scene and stopping traffic there, so try to go around that. Magnolia Road at Lakeshore. We do have a crash at Madison Avenue and Hazel Avenue. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Dialing for democracy. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
This is Ed Asner. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured and used illegal illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
The Sacramento Philharmonic opens its 10th anniversary season on Saturday, October 14th at 8 p.m. in the Community Center Theater with a world premiere of Night Thoughts, a new work by world-famous composer and conductor Andre Previn. Commissioned by the Philharmonic in honor of internationally acclaimed painter and Sacramentan Wayne Thiebaud. The concert will be repeated on Sunday, October 15th in a 3 p.m. matinee at the Mondavi Center for the Performing Arts in Davis. Previn's musical versatility has made him familiar to millions of people around the world. Wayne Thiebaud gained national prominence in the 1960s with his sensuous images of cakes, pies, and other common objects. He is an esteemed faculty alumnus of Sacramento State University and UC Davis. Other works in the program include works by Dvorak, Ravel, and Haydn. Tickets are available at the Community Center box office, 916-264-5181, and the Mondavi Center at 866-754-ARTS.
Keeping the metal to the pedal. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Monday edition of Enid Live, I am yours until 7 o'clock, Mondays through Fridays on AM 1320. We're going to be joined by Arianna Huffington. I think it's going to be a drive-by kind of because she got a better invitation, I think, but Paula's on. But we'll see. We'll try to keep her as long as we can, and that happens if all goes well in the 4 o'clock hour. So we'll be talking with Arianna about all kinds of things and about her new book on becoming fearless, which I'm hoping more of the Democrats will be. And we are talking about the debate. We brought you special coverage of it. We brought you the debate live on Saturday night, and Andy Scott and I were participated in special coverage following the debate. So lots of you weren't able to get in, I know, and lots of you have thought about it in the last couple of days. And I'd like to hear your thoughts. If you're a Republican, I particularly want to hear from you, because I'm sure you thought Arnold won. I didn't, but looks like if you're looking at the coverage, we're probably in the minority. I just have to tell you, I've never been so blasted by a candidate as I was by Arnold's people, and I have never been on their blast list before. But I mean, they were relentless. Even like started just a few minutes after the debate was underway, they started saying how Arnold was winning, how Democrats were saying that Phil had lost. I mean, it just was relentless. 349-1320-866-620-613-20. Mia in Folsom. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Hi, Mia.
Hi. I was calling because I wanted to make a comment about, I think, Arnold's exploitation of the Special Olympics and the disability community, and the comment to Phil about where were you looking out of your office. And I remember when Arnold came into his office that one of the first things he did was recruit a finance person who had previously worked in Florida to cut services to people with disabilities and overturn some of the Lanterman Act and other issues, other protections that people have in the state of California in meeting the needs of people with developmental disabilities. And I believe Arnold's comment in looking out the window at the protesters was people will gripe when you take away their services. And it was only when he realized that it was going to hurt his public image and the Special Olympics, quoting family ties, that he backpedaled, essentially.
Well, you know, I think that's even more reprehensible, because if you know about the Kennedy family history, his mother-in-law, Eunice Shriver, is the one who got Special Olympics going. So she's had a commitment for decades to this very issue. So for him to cut funding, and let me just say, he didn't do much of anything for the 2 years that he was governor, except that horrible the election where he was soundly rebuked. And the moment he saw that he was soundly rebuked and he needed to get it together and do whatever it took to run a successful gubernatorial campaign, that's when you started to see him working with Democrats, and that's when you started to see all this flurry of legislation that makes him look like he's much more viable than I think he really is.
Yes.
So I think in every way he continues to be an actor and not a particularly good one. But you know what? You and I probably could see through Dickey when he was running for office, and most people couldn't. And look what we have elected. Look at the mess we're in now. Mia, I thank you for the call. 349-1320. Nick in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid on 1320. Hi, Nick.
Hey, hi, Enid. Enid, I can't believe that the American people are falling for all of this stuff. First of all, they're just We've been held hostage by the Republican Party now for I don't know how long. And they just continue on to do this thing, and the American people just seem to buy this more and more and more. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. I don't. You know, we can endlessly theorize. I mean, are people less engaged? Are they? They don't care. It's Peter. It's Tweedledee and Tweedledum. It's what difference does it make? They're all equally out for themselves, and they don't care about us. I think we have become a celebrity besotted culture. I think that, you know, we're heavy into entertainment and not so much into information and even less into wisdom. So I don't know what to say about it. People, you know, spelling has fallen by the wayside. Manners have long ago fell by the wayside. So I really think it's as much a reflection of what we are and what we have become as what, you know, as what is running for office and trying to bamboozle us in a lot of cases very successfully. I don't have a real explanation. Maybe somebody else does. You have any thoughts about it?
Well, it's just the dumbing of America. That's where we're at right here. This No Child Left Behind thing is ridiculous. I mean, the teachers are scripted. They cannot do anything. They just, if they don't, if the kids don't get it, just move on. We just move on. And then all these people are just standing by. You know, stand up, take it back.
Well, when we are looking at an educational system as broken as the one in California, then I think what it says, just without a lot of scrutiny, is that this system has been broken for a long time, and nobody has rolled up their sleeves to try to really fix it in any substantive way. Whatever the fixes have been, and maybe people have been very well-intentioned, they have been superficial fixes. Nobody wanted to risk political capital to do it right. Nobody wanted to spend the money, apparently, to do it right. And for all the years of patching here and patching there and patching this place, we have a terribly broken system, a terribly broken educational system. So I think it's another indication. I hate to be so negative on a Monday because, you know, we have four more days before we leap into the arms of the weekend again. But I think it says as much about us as, you know, we get the politicians we deserve is the way it's always said. Nick, I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. What are your thoughts about the debate? Here's the Los Angeles Times saying, you know, pulling out that line that Arnold had two or three lines, and here's what they were. He pointed to Phil and said, look out there right now and just say, I love increasing your taxes. See, they thought that was going to get traction. And these were the three connect the dots, or two anyway. They marched in Sacramento right by your office, Treasurer Schwarzenegger said, squinting his eyes at his opponent. You were inside that office, and you looked out, and you didn't join them protesting. Where were you? See, so that was number two. And that was, I think those were the two things that, oh, here was number three. Number three. These were the three anchor positions that I think Schwartzy knew he was going to use no matter what. After Angelides assailed Schwartzy's record on protecting the state from terrorism and criticized his treatment of the state's enforcement officers, Schwartzy drew a big laugh from the studio crowd and a smile from Angelides by suggesting, I feel a little like I'm having Thanksgiving dinner with Uncle Teddy. Thank you so much, Angelides replied, delighted to be compared to Edward Kennedy, the uncle of Schwarzenegger's wife, Maria Shriver. So I feel like I'm having Thanksgiving dinner with Uncle Teddy. I just admit it, Phil. Look right there and say, I love increasing your taxes. And where were you? Those were the three bites that I think they thought were going to be the connect the dots to the debate and that the press was going to run with the next day. It didn't much happen that way, though. 349-1320, Ann in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on 1320. Hi, Ann.
Hi.
Welcome.
I watched the debate from beginning to end. I felt somewhat like you did, that Angelides was more relaxed. But one thing struck me. At the end of the evening, neither one of them had mentioned health care. And considering that Schwarzenegger had just voted it down, I believe he said last week.
Right. Well, not last week, but just a few weeks ago, a couple weeks ago.
How in the world could they tiptoe around health care?
You know, that's really a good question. That is really a good question.
Well, my son and I noticed it, too. He's probably as political as I am. He reads 5 papers a day and gives me all kinds of...
All right, now here was what was going on. All the questions were decided in advance by some dopey focus group, and that focus group was upstairs during the debate, while the debate was underway. They were the ones asking the questions, and it was all being filtered through the earpiece of Stan Statham, who was the moderator, and I don't think he did a very good job. I think he did a really pretty bad job, as a matter of fact.
I think he did a lousy job.
Well, I agree with you, but and you're right. How come no health care? And you know what? Phil could have brought it up, even if it wasn't one of the questions that came up. But I'll tell you what. I had him on last week, and he didn't leap into the arms of the whole health care issue. He said it was going to be several steps before you could get to universal health care.
Several steps?
Yes. Yes, the way I recall the answer, there were a bunch of, it wasn't a statement like, I am absolutely for universal single-payer health care. Let's work to that immediately. It was, first we're going to have it for children, then we're going to, you know, there were about 3 or 4 steps before he finally said something about universal health care, and then he said it very quickly.
I would like to make one other comment.
Yes?
I think Californians are hopelessly... gone Hollywood, and I think they're just mesmerized by an ex-Hollywood star.
Well, that ex part is, you got that part right, Ann. You may be right about it, and because they're running a slick campaign, and because people want to be bamboozled, they want to be in love with somebody who's a celebrity, who's looks like a Terminator, who's going to ride up on the white horse and make everything right again. You know, just like John Wayne. Remember John Wayne? In his private life, John Wayne collected antiques and played bridge. Ann, I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866, 626, 1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you so much, Enid. Well, it looks like our weather, let's see, what do we got? 54 for the low tonight, high 77. You know, I really don't see any rain in our future. My awesome, illustrious boss, Charlie Weiss, is like, I think it's going to rain tonight. I'm not sure, though. Maybe a little sprinkles, we pray, because it's a little warm today. We're at 77. Enid Live will continue. Southbound 99 at Fruit Ridge Road is a little slow. Back AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
It is significant because it emphasizes democracy in action.
Seen it live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it,
Miss Romney,
what drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy. See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Tourists, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott! It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Play
pay perfectly.
I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club, and I received $100 in free bonus play.
Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly.
Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots, and bonus play just keeps the action going.
Play, bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA Four Diamond Casino Resort. Just join the Cash Club, and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cash Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit cashcreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
Cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... New rule, no more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
More buzz than an afternoon caffeine break. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. A liberal dose of the truth applied daily.
Five on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. I'm just getting some emails from some of you. Oh, and I want to give you the technique that Arnold's people are using in their blasts, in their email blasts to spin. They're quoting Democrats. And they're having, Bill Bradley said Phil lost. John Garamendi said it's over. This one said game match, you know, Gary South, who was running Wesley's campaign, said this. So they took Democrats and then they had them utter terrible words. And when they quoted something from a Los Angeles Times piece, when I, negative toward Phil, when I went to the Los Angeles Times piece, that's not what it said. But they were really brilliant at doing this. I got this from Gary. Gary said, Enid, Phil won. Arnold looked uncomfortable and confused. Phil answered questions well. Arnold, as usual, rambled. The moderator looked like he was from Sepulpa, Oklahoma. Barbara O'Connor of CSUS, a Democrat, said that Arnold won. She wrote that Arnold looked comfortable and Phil looked edgy and was shrill. That's according to her, Phil lost. That's not relevant if you're wanting to vote for the better man. You know, I don't agree with Barbara on this. I really thought that Phil looked comfortable and that Arnold looked tense and that he seemed more confused and that he had some talking points. Here is a little bit of spin from the Phil campaign. But why, as Ann asked, why Phil didn't talk about health care? And you know, the other thing that I think would resonate with Californians, a couple of the issues that I think would have resonated with Californians, rate re-regulation. We're going to be facing huge energy bills. Would be an issue, I think, as Ann pointed out, health care, universal health care, and rate re-regulation. Those two are issues that I think would be would resonate. 349-13.
KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Left Channel.
And streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
Swift and angry reaction to North Korea's claimed nuclear test.
The United States condemns this provocative act.
Google buys YouTube for $1.65 billion.
It is an area that is just now blossoming on the Internet, and there's a lot of revenue to be had.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The devil is in the details, but the UN Security Council seems unusually united in response to North Korea's claim that it detonated a nuclear device deep underground.
I'm Lou Miliano with the United Nations, where the Security Council is considering a fistful of tough measures against North Korea, including international inspections of cargo going in and out of North Korean ports and a total arms embargo. The ideas being floated also include a freeze on assets associated with North Korea's weapons program.
Those ideas all come from the Bush administration.
I'm Mark Noller at the White House. While the U.S. has yet to confirm that North Korea actually detonated a nuclear weapon, its claim of having done so was enough for President Bush.
The United States condemns this provocative act.
Mr. Bush said North Korea had once again defied the will of the international community, and he called for an immediate response from the U.N.
The United States remains committed to diplomacy. And we will continue to protect ourselves and our interests.
But if North Korea tries to sell nuclear weapons or material, he said the U.S. will view it as a grave threat.
Estimates on the strength of the blast vary widely, but U.S. intelligence believes it probably was nuclear. Wendy Sherman, a U.S. diplomat in the Clinton administration, has met North Korean leader Kim Jong-il.
He is smart. He is wily. He is supported by a million-man army that has many thousand rounds of artillery. So he has been able to deal with the cards he has and play that hand pretty well.
Now this.
If you drive a Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury and need service, there's never been a better time for great deals than right now. The Right Now factory authorized service event at your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. You'll find special offers by the truckload on tires, brakes, batteries, and more. All installed by Ford factory trained experts. Genuine parts and service at Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships. Hurry, the Right Now factory authorized service event ends soon.
I'm back. I am the Ricola Mystery Coffer. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, you could win $1 million. And this year, I'm also coming to one lucky listener's home. Register at RicolaUSA.com for clues and official rules. And remember,
I could be a woman.
No purchase necessary. Game is until legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game runs October 9th to November 18th.
Does anyone have a
Ricola?
Overnight success in technology is more elusive than it was in the 90s, but YouTube is an exception. Today, CBS News business reporter Alexis Christopher says Google finalized a deal to buy YouTube for big bucks.
It's really an incredible story because YouTube is a rising star in the world of the Internet. It was started less than 2 years ago by two 20-something-year-olds, and here they are now getting bought out for $1.6 billion in stock.
People view video clips on YouTube at the rate of 100 million a day. It's not what Republicans want to hear just weeks before the election. A CBS News New York Times poll finds voters have strong feelings about the Mark Foley scandal.
62% say that the House Republican leadership did know about Congressman Foley's sexually explicit emails, and the House Republican leadership gets poor grades when it comes to handling it. 66% said they didn't take it seriously enough.
Director of Surveys Kathleen Frankovic. Gasoline prices are down, and now there's reassurance for homeowners as we head into the heating season. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive is live with that story.
The natural gas industry tells CBS News the average price will be down by
around 10%.
Down from last winter's prices. Roger Cooper at the American Gas Association says last winter was almost 20% more expensive than the previous winter. The hurricane shock is over. Utility companies were able to stockpile natural gas.
Storage is almost completely full.
More than half of America's homes are heated with natural gas. This will help consumers. Tomorrow, a government report will project winter price levels for all types of fuel. Live in Washington, Dan Revive, CBS News.
Vladimir Putin, during a phone call with President Bush about North Korea, assured Mr. Bush that Russian authorities will do everything they can to find the killers of journalist Anna Politkovskaya, who was shot dead in her Moscow apartment building Saturday. Politkovskaya's reporting often angered the Kremlin. She was the first recipient of the Overseas Press Club CBS News Artyom Borovik Award, named for a courageous journalist who reported on the former Soviet Union. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Some people think all insurance...
Stay healthy.
The color pink represents the promise to find a cure for breast cancer. That promise started the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation and ignited the passion of millions to create a world without breast cancer. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We are reaching out to you to make a difference this month by making a personal donation to the Komen Foundation and by showing your passion for the cure by wearing pink one or more days in October. Anything you can do to heighten the awareness of this cause can make a difference. To share your promise and to donate funds to our passion, log on to 1320 Left Channel.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. It really is the internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all these things that are going on the internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal internet, that is you and me. You and me is tubes. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a good truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
On AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Eight minutes after 4 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Remember, we stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. You can email me, Enid at kctc.com, and all calls are toll-free, 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. We are joined in this segment by one of our favorite places to look for interesting news. Arianna Huffington will be with us, is with us. Her new book, On Becoming Fearless, in Love, Work, and Life. Arianna, thank you so much for joining us today.
I'm delighted to be with you.
Well, I'm delighted that you're with us, too. You are our favorite former Republican who is now a liberal Democrat. How did that happen? how did that transformation occur?
Well, I'm here to talk to you about my book, and it's all in the book. You know, I've had this new book out called On Becoming Fearless.
Yes.
Do you have a copy?
I have it, and that is the book title that I've been talking about for the last hour, On Becoming Fearless, in love, work, and life.
Yes, and there's a whole section there on speaking out where I talked about how when my views began to change on the role of government, that was a specific area where my views changed because I was always, you know, pro-gay rights and pro-gun control and pro-choice. But I began to see that we needed an activist government to be able to deal with all the social problems we were facing. And as I say in the book, that meant being willing to go public and say that I had changed, and that is not always easy, as you know, because you lose friends. There are people who used to love you who don't love you anymore,
and there are people who don't trust the change.
Yes, that happened too, but it's now, you know, over 10 years, and so people have actually accepted that this change is for real because there have been many books and many columns on the subject of what I believe. And what I've recognized also is that as we all come to champion certain things that we feel strongly about, and yet these things are not happening, you know, we kind of champion them, but We still don't have universal health care. We still don't have a decent education system for millions of America's children. I've been asking why, and it comes down to leaders' personal character, and for me it comes down to their personal fearlessness.
Well, I want to talk to you about that, because Franklin Roosevelt said famously, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. And to a country coming out of the depth of the Depression, he did the opposite of what this administration is doing. What he did was instruct us by example and in his speeches not to succumb to fear, that we could be strong. If you're raising children, what you don't do is you don't make them scared all the time unless you're really a horrible parent. What you want to do is you want to use that horrible word, empower. You want to empower your kids, and you don't want to use fear to manipulate them, which is exactly what this administration has done. And as a result, there's a huge industry that you might call the fear industry, and you see it across the board. So talk to me about fearlessness and what it consists of. Does it mean you're never frightened, or does it mean when you're scared you move through it and you work through it?
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. I say in the introduction to the book that fearlessness is not the absence of fear. It is the mastery of fear. It is being able and willing to do what you want to do, to say what you want to say, even while you're afraid, so that then you get to the other side, and that's really what is so empowering. That's what begins to change you and change your life, and I really mean that. That's my promise, that if we do that while we're afraid, whatever that is, whatever it is that our dream is, it could be a big deal or it could be a small deal, but everything builds our fearlessness muscle. I talk in the book about our muscle of fearlessness.
All right, give us an example of encountering fear.
Let me give you an example from my own life. I talk about when in my 20s I fell madly in love with this man who was a writer, a brilliant writer, twice my age, and I was crazy about him. We used to kind of cut his columns from the London Times, where I lived in London at the time, and I would underline them and learn them by heart. Anyway, to cut a long story short, we met, we fell in love, we spent 7 years together. By then I was 30. I desperately wanted to have children. You know, I had this longing for children. He didn't want to have children. He didn't want to marry me. He just wanted to stay with me. So I had to make this decision. And despite all my fears, and trust me, there were many, fears of being alone, fears of leaving a man I loved, I left him. And that turned out to be sort of the most significant step I took that changed my life. And when I look back, it was so hard. And when I look now, it was what really made everything else possible. So very often, taking that step, even while it's hard, even while we're afraid of not settling, not staying in a relationship out of fear, is a key moment of choice in our lives, and a key moment of fearlessness. And what helps is I talk about building a tribe of fearlessness around you, my fearlessness tribe, of the people who are in your corner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people you can trust, you can depend on, the people who are with you even when you're losing, even when you're down, because they're not with you because you're succeeding, they're with you because they're with you.
But, you know, I've heard it said that the real test of friendship isn't when you're failing, but it's when you're succeeding.
Mm-hmm.
That success is a greater threat to the friendship than failure.
Well, I know what you're saying, because it's easier to sort of like to be friendly or
it's less threatening.
So somebody who needs your help. But, you know, we can pick the members of our tribe. In my case, my mother was the charter member of my tribe, you know, the woman to whom the book is dedicated, together with my two teenage daughters. And she was an amazing human being who was able to totally love me unconditionally and totally make me feel that I could try anything and that if I failed, no big deal. Embracing failure is a huge step towards fearlessness, because so often what stops us from trying is the fear of failing.
My guest is Arianna Huffington. Her new book is called Unbecoming Fearless. Unbecoming Fearless in Love, Work, and Life. It has been reported that your mother lived and really sort of was a central figure in the household for a long time. Is she still alive?
No, I lost my mother in the year 2000. But she lived with me, and she was the foundation of my life.
And your sister also lives with you, yes?
And my sister, yes. I'm very tribal, as you can see. And the book is full of things that my mother taught me, which now I'm trying to pass on to my children and all women and men who are reading the book.
If you were instructing Democrats on how to become fearless, because they have been so wimpy in this in the face of this horrible administration, what would you say to them on a political level?
On the political level, what I'm saying in the book is that the level of fearlessness we bring to our political lives is dependent on the level of fearlessness we have in our personal lives. The more fearless we are in our personal lives, the more willing we will be to stand up for our principle. Because what stops so many politicians from standing up on principle is the fear of losing an election. And ironically, that's how they lose elections. That is what is so incredibly ironic. So I'm saying here, keep building that fearlessness muscle. And that's going to also build the antibodies to the fear-mongering that this administration is so good at. So the two things are very connected.
Well, but Arianna, the administration wouldn't be so good at fear-mongering if people weren't more fearful than I think they have been.
I completely agree with you.
And why would that be? We are richer, we have more going, you know, we are more educated, we are more, you know, think of this category and that category, and yet we are more enraged, we're angrier, and we are more fearful. Can you explain that?
Well, I really think that when the administration or anybody starts fear-mongering, they appeal to our lizard brains. They appeal to the non-rational part of us. And that's what we need to remind ourselves, that when they appeal to that non-rational part of our brain, it really is a way for us to stop looking at the evidence. And we need to get back to the part of us that is not in a fog of fear. And we can do it. And what helps is being surrounded by other people who are not afraid. Because in the same way that fear is contagious, fearlessness is contagious too.
So, if you were creating a regimen for fearlessness, what would be the first step? What do you do?
Okay. That's very good. I like that, a regimen for fearlessness.
Yes.
I would start with some very, very practical tips that I have in the book, which is sleep. Sleep is a practical foundation of fearlessness, because it's very hard to be fearless when you're sleep deprived, believe it or not. Because I write about my own experience. When I'm sleep deprived, I'm more reactive, I'm more moody. Bad news gets to me much faster. So changing that is absolutely paramount. Another thing,
There was a big piece, as a matter of fact, in the Los Angeles Times about sleep deprivation, and there are all these physical things that happen. Your insulin levels go nuts. You tend to be pushed into being diabetic. The things that nobody even thinks about in terms of sleep deprivation, in addition to what you're saying.
Yeah, that's one of my big things in the book. And I find also that to the extent that when we're in shape and we're working out and we feel good about ourselves, also it's easier for us to stand up to whatever. I find when I'm sleep deprived, that's the time when I go for the carbs or the muffins, whatever is going to give me energy to get through the day.
Chocolate.
So, getting enough sleep and also doing some form of exercise, feeling, which is part of feeling good about ourselves in a natural way, is a critical, fundamental part of this regimen. Then, a sense of humor. You know, my mother used to say, angels fly because they take themselves lightly. Lighten up. You know, most things that happen every day are not life and death. And it's so important to remember that. It's another thing that I say in the book is there are many terrible things in my life, but most of them never happened. So that's
meaning that you were frightened of things that
yes.
You were just frightened of them in advance.
But they never happened.
Right.
It never went wrong. Or, you know, even at the time, you know, you're lying in bed, you hear a strange noise, your mind immediately goes to the worst. I say, don't never lose in your own fantasies. You know, win in your fantasies. Don't assume the worst in your fantasies. That's what I mean by that.
Talk to me about John Rogers. I remember reading a lot about your involvement with him and in that group and the effect that it has had on your outlook, writing a book on fearlessness.
Well, actually, that's a very good point, because the next part, at the other extreme, at the other end, if you want, of the fearlessness regimen, would be spirituality.
Yes.
And John Rogers was an incredible source of information and wisdom about living our lives. And I've gotten tremendous value from his seminars, from his books, from his tapes. He's a very good friend of mine. And as I say in the book, having a spiritual foundation has been incredibly important to me in this fearlessness regimen. Now, I have friends also who are atheists and who are fearless. So I'm not saying that you can't be fearless without a spiritual foundation, but trust me, it's much easier.
My guest is Arianna Huffington, her new book on becoming fearless, love, work, and life. I remember, Arianna, when Michael was running, when you were married to Michael, I remember when I was living in San Francisco and when you got married and it was all under the auspices, Ann Getty was involved and it was quite a to-do on the social pages. And then he at one point was challenging Dianne Feinstein for the Senate. It was actually, as I recall, pretty close. And then fast forward, he comes out of the closet. Talk to me about that. Was that something that was a big surprise or something you knew all along?
That was 2 years after he and I divorced. You know, I don't really talk about that because Michael and I are actually now really good friends. And he's the father of my two daughters, who were the most important part of my life. And all that matters to me, as I said then, and as I continue to say, is that he's such a good father to our kids, and that we are bringing up our children together. And I have a whole section in the book about divorce, because the hardest thing about divorce is the guilt that we go through about the impact it has on our children. And I am a great believer in trying very hard to maintain a good relationship with the other parent. It's hard, trust me, it's been very hard for us. There were many moments, including when Michael came out, moments of differences about the children's education that made it very hard to be friends. But we both tried, and I mean, as a result, we've spent every Christmas and every birthday of the two children together. And that's very important for my daughters, who are now 15 and 17. And trust me, however hard it is, it's worth it.
My guest is Arianna Huffington, the book on becoming fearless. Arianna, in the face of something intractable, inevitable, in the face of a terminal illness, what do you say in that? How do you apply the concepts of fearlessness when you are facing something deeply fearful?
Well, obviously, I write in the book about fearlessness in the face of death, fearlessness in the face of aging and illness. And there are some moments in everyone's life, whether it's our own illness or illness of someone we love, that challenges us and tests us the most. And that's where trust comes in. Trust is the ultimate sort of weapon, if you want, with which to challenge fear. And trust, for me, is a spiritual element, if you want. It's really believing that there is a blueprint to our lives, that nothing happens, that it doesn't have a purpose, even if we cannot understand the purpose. I believe that profoundly. I believe that our life has a blueprint to it. And that means that we are able to not always see what the pattern is, but that there is a pattern, that this is not an indifferent universe that simply allows things to happen that have no other meaning. Now, that's a very spiritual perspective, but I really believe in that.
Well, then I have to ask you, if that's the case, and I hope you're right about that,
How can you explain the political metastasis that's going on now from this administration? How is that in the larger blueprint? Is that a way to let's try to find a silver lining here to get everybody together in some fundamental way so that finally this kind of thinking and this sort of an administration such as we are dealing with now finally gets toppled?
Well, you know what? It's really operating on two different levels. You know, on the practical political level, we are not accepting it. I mean, on the practical political level, I write about it every day on the Huffington Post. We are supporting candidates who are going to hopefully win the majorities in Congress and maybe even in the Senate. So that's the practical political level. I'm talking about the spiritual level of trying to while trying to change what is happening, at the same time of a spiritual, deeper understanding that there are larger forces at work. I'm not going to stay here and say what they are because I don't know what they are. I mean, all I'm saying that I believe, as the Bible says, that not a sparrow falls, but that God is behind it. But that's a very personal belief, which many of my friends that I'm working with in politics do not share, but who can still work together politically and look at the larger spiritual perspective differently. And we started this part of the Huffington Post that we are calling fearlessvoices.com.
Well, we're great. I look at the Huffington Post every day. We're great fans of the Huffington Post .com. And I have to say that when it got started, I know that that there were a lot of naysayers and, you know, people who didn't think it was, but it has really taken off beautifully, and it's lots of fun to look at, and it's a wonderful compendium of the day's news and what's going on, and particularly for progressives. So I think you've done a wonderful job, and I love Nora Ephron's posts. I love looking at the various posts and all the information that you've gathered in that one place. So you have done a wonderful job there, Arianna.
Thank you so much. Well, we really have tried hard to make it a community, and whenever your listeners want to come and write either about politics or about anything that's not political, that's where fearlessvoices.com comes in. We would absolutely love that.
So can we all post on HuffingtonPost.com?
Yes, absolutely. You can send anything you want to Arianna@HuffingtonPost.com.
Okay, we'll do that.
We'd love to have it. And I'm sorry I have to run. I have to run all the way across town to CNN to do Paul Azan now.
Tonight you'll be on Paul Azan? Okay, so we'll watch you. At the same time, we hope people continue to listen to Enid Live in case we're all on at the same time. Arianna Huffington, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much,
Enid. I've enjoyed it immensely.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live, Arianna Huffington, on Becoming Fearless in Love, Work, and Life. Maybe we should send a copy to Dickie. What do you think? 349-1320, 866-626-1320, if you have some comments to make. I'm Enid Goldstein, and this is the Monday edition of Enid Live. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, we have 30% humidity tonight. Lows right around 55, highs 79. Tomorrow, maybe a little showers going on tomorrow afternoon. We're at 79 here in the River City. Our traffic, southbound 99 right by Fruit Ridge Road, a little slowed down from a car crash on the right-hand side. Madison Avenue and Hazel Avenue, that car crash has not been cleared up. Typically, though, we have a three-car crash and a Lexus versus a Ford right there stopping traffic. Minor injuries northbound Cap City Freeway at Fulton Avenue and LC Avenue at Iona. We do have a two-car crash. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
To the metal, to the pedal. It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
Oh, sure, you listen to AM 1320. Sometimes you call in. That's great. You vote. I'm very proud of you. You're doing the right thing. But sometimes you need to get out there and pound the pavement, and you need to knock on some doors, maybe make a few phone calls.
Please volunteer in the upcoming November 2006 election. The Sacramento Democratic Party has three opportunities for you to volunteer in the area. The first is the Northeast Sacramento Democratic Headquarters at 4142 Sunrise Boulevard in Fair Oaks. The phone number is 961-8877. The other is the the Elk Grove Democratic Campaign Headquarters at 3137 Dwight Road, Suite 500 in Elk Grove, just north of Laguna Boulevard. Their phone number is 421-0202. And finally, the Phil Angelides Campaign, which is located at the corner of 21st and N Street. And their phone number is 448-1998. Please volunteer in this very important upcoming election.
Get out there. Action is necessary.
How would you like to cut your mortgage?
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag, is a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Scott and Sam. Lifestyle choices.
The Republican base, which when it comes to those theocons, they're wondering, are the Democrats going to get the extra cream, so to speak? Or are they just going to stay home and not vote?
I guess, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago, the evangelicals, the fundamentalists, they just didn't vote.
It was very much kept in the church.
And, you know, what would Jesus do? Well, he would cut taxes.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Help. New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. An Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes region, for folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
1320 Left Channel Action Calendar. The film company Shiny Object, in conjunction with Fools Foundation Art Gallery at 19th and K Streets in Sacramento, presents an ongoing weekly series of film screenings of independent films, documentaries, and some LGBT interest titles on Friday nights at 7 p.m. Coming Friday, October 13th, Independent America, The Two-Lane Search for Mom and Pop. This film uncovers the growing opposition to big box retail across the U.S. and the often desperate fight being waged by independent retailers to stay alive. Award-winning journalists and filmmakers Hanson Hossein and Heather Hughes travel through 32 states looking for an American unchained by corporate retail and find individuals banding together to preserve not only their livelihoods, but also the life of their communities. Independent America, The Two-Lane Search for Mom and Pop, on Friday, October 13th at 7 p.m. at the Fools Foundation Art Gallery, 19th and K Streets. Admission is $5. More information is on the events page at 1320leftchannel.com.
the left lane all the way home with Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Monday edition of Enid Live, I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. If you're just joining us, you missed Arianna Huffington. Her new book is on Becoming Fearless, which I think is a really good topic. I've been interested for a long time in the fear industry and how we're made to be feel more frightened. And it's really a way to be manipulated, whether by people who have something to sell you, whether it's a product or an item, or whether it's an administration that wants to keep you under its thumb, and so they make you scared so that you're too afraid to vote them out of office. In any event, nobody gets out of this life without having encountered fear. And I think the people who live life most successfully learn how to deal with it. And so when Arianna says it's a fear muscle, I think that's right. And I think the people who are the bravest people, if you read biographies, the people who are the bravest people, the most courageous people, are not people who never encountered fear or who are so fearless that they just willy-nilly, jump off cliffs and climb mountains and stuff. No, they're people who get just as scared as we do. Sometimes they even get more scared than we do. But you know what? They're willing to put one foot in front of another and move through the fear, assess the risk, think about how to navigate the incident, navigate the mountain, navigate the stream, navigate the sinking of the boat, navigate the sinking of a business or a relationship, or navigate the potential for success, which is also as fearful as the potential for failure. And I think for a lot of people, even the possibility of success, which is what everybody says they want, what everybody thinks they want, everybody says, we want to be successful. Nobody wants to sign up to be a failure. But I think that sometimes the success, the potential for success, even if you want it intellectually, can be even more scary emotionally. And I can remember that UCSF a few years back had a panel, and I thought this was so odd, but the more I thought about it, the more I thought there was a lot of meaning to it. It was a panel of psychiatrists from the School of Medicine, and the conference was on the stress of success. And I thought, well, what kind of stress is there with success? Well, if you think about it, there's an immense amount of stress that comes with success. And for some people, it is a lot of people are so scared by just changing the status quo. You know, and think about what the status quo is. Call the status quo your comfort zone. Are you in a, abusive relationship? You're in a bad job? Are you in doing drugs? Are you drinking too much? Are you eating too much? Whatever it is, it becomes the water the fish swims in. Whatever it is, it becomes the comfort zone that you are accustomed to. And even when you want to make those changes, want to quit smoking, want to, fill in the blank. There's a million things we all want to do. Do more exercise. Whatever it is, there's the intellectual part that says, yes, I'm signing up for that Jenny Craig. I'm signing up for Weight Watchers. I'm signing up for quit smoking. I'm signing up for this, that, and the other. And then health clubs are full of people who never go. They get your money, and boy, do they ever. They have claws into your bank account. And I'll get to that in a moment. 349-1320, 866-620-6-1320. So an administration that has spent most of its tenure, I would say all of it, particularly since 9/11, trying to scare us, and has made us more fearful, more, we would never put up with what they're talking about. We wouldn't allow ourselves to be manipulated. So I think that whether it's the events of daily life have conspired, an event like 9/11 make us more fearful. And then an administration plays on that to make us even more fearful. And we are, despite the fact that there is a shrink on every corner, you cannot turn on television or radio without encountering Dr. Phil or somebody like Dr. Phil. It doesn't matter. We have become more scared, more enraged, more angry, and more fearful. And it doesn't have to be that way. We really could turn it around. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Jeff in Winters. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jeff.
Hi there. Hey, the other day we were having a barbecue, and I listened to your show quite a bit, but I was asking people about their fear levels and that kind of stuff, because I hear this thrown out there every day, and I was wondering, because I drive down the road, and I don't see people quivering in their boots or anything else, or their lives are virtually untouched, because nothing has changed since, you know, since the Iraq War for most people. I'm not talking about people that have a brother or cousin or a direct friend in the military and whatnot, but I don't know who these people are that we're referring to that are so fearful and in the enraged ones, because I just don't see it. And I'm,
you never heard about road rage? You don't hear about cell phone rage? You don't see those stories? I mean, Jeff, are you living in a bubble? And the fear,
no,
and I'm going to tell you something
exactly to the war.
I mean, I think there's so much fearfulness going on now that if there weren't, I think you would have seen people voting the weasels out. And I think that's one barometer of it. 349-1320, 866-626, 1320. Ann in Folsom. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Enid. I'm not going to get into the political aspects of fear, but I have two quotes that I know you will enjoy. There's a serious one and a funny one. Which one do you want first?
Either one. I'm going to let you decide.
Okay. I think I'll save the funny one to last.
Okay.
To leave you laughing. How about this? Courage is not the absence of fear, but the ability to carry on with dignity in spite of it.
I think that's a wonderful quote. Who said it? Do you know who said it?
Scott Turow. T-U-R-O-W.
Scott Turow,
yes.
The writer?
Uh-huh.
Okay, he wrote Presumed Innocent.
Courage is not the absence of fear, but the ability to carry on with dignity in spite of it. Now, the funny one is by the wise Anonymous, who said, if at first you do succeed, try something harder.
That's very good.
Oh, okay.
And thank you so much. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. 349-1320, 866-626, 1320. Bill in Nevada City. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Bill.
Enid?
Yes.
I've got an announcement, but first about Charlie Brown coming to Grass Valley. But first, I received one of these canned messages from the Doo-Doo-Doolittle trying to scare us about Charlie Brown would raise Social Security, and I listened to their...
Wait. He would raise the... You mean, here's an example of fear being used by the Deep Doo-Doo-Doolittle campaign. He's saying, they're alleging that Charlie will raise your Social Security tax, or what you have to put into Social Security, your deduction?
No. I listened to the whole spiel. First, they said he was going to raise Social Security, and then finally at the end, they gave out information that was music to my ears that was, as far as I'm concerned, self-defeating if people would listen to the end. He said that Charlie would raise Social Security by removing the cap on Social Security, which means that those who make over $90,000 or $100,000 a year would continue to pay the percentage of income on their Social Security, just like those who earn less have to pay,
right.
So that the rich would help shore up Social Security. And this is something I've advocated for years, that the way to solve the problem with Social Security is to tax the rich.
Okay, but tell us quickly now. Tell us what the message is that you have on Charlie.
Yeah. Charlie is going to appear at Nevada County Democratic Headquarters 10 a.m. Saturday. And that, for people who live in Grass Valley, Nevada City, it's located across from a Briar Patch grocery. They sell a lot of organic foods and the like. And across from the Weiss Brothers Nursery.
Okay, so Charlie's going to be there on Saturday. Bill, thanks very much.
There's also a fundraiser for Charlie on Sunday. And if they'll call Nevada County Democratic Headquarters, I don't have the exact address, but it's...
Well, they can go to the website, charliebrownforcongress.org. Bill,
yeah,
thanks so much. I appreciate the heads up, and thank you. 349-1320, 866-626, 1320. Fear. Fear. Ariana's book is on fearlessness, and she has been quite an adventuress and has been fearless in reinventing herself whenever the moment called for it. But nobody gets out of this life without challenges and without a lot of fears. And when you are presented with challenges, I think a lot of fear comes with it. And I think the real test of how well you live your life is how you dance with the challenges that nobody gets away from being confronted with. And people who have really become something in life have dealt with it. Isn't that it that they skated by? It's just that they developed some muscles to deal with challenges. And I think we all have the ability to do that. 349-1320, Matt in El Dorado Hills. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Matt.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Anyway, I've got a question. In our national anthem, it says, land of the free, home of the brave.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happened to that? Because bravery is not a... Oh, do you want to comment before I go on?
No, I like that. Go ahead. The land of the free, home of the brave. It's now the land of the shoppers.
Yeah, and I'm kind of amazed that a lot of these people saying it are so cowardly. But anyway, I look at this and I go, you know, fear isn't about who your opponent is. It's about who you are. It has nothing to do with Iraq or anybody else. It's about us. And so there's always something to be afraid of, if nothing else, old age. And bravery comes from having some sense in my world that you live for something besides yourself. And in my case, it's what created me. I live to enjoy this beautiful world we live in. And anybody who gets in the way of that becomes my enemy. And as soon as they start saying, you don't have the right to, they're my enemy.
Meaning what? Give me an example.
You don't have the right to walk up to the vice president and say you're a complete idiot. And we do have that right. And that's what separates us from people who are fearful. And as soon as somebody from the Secret Service then slaps handcuffs on you, we're in real trouble.
Well, but that happened to the guy in Denver. Well, or in, not Denver, Beaver Creek, I think, in Colorado.
Right. And I'm from Colorado. I was born in Colorado Springs. And there was never a question in my day when I was growing up that we were a courageous country. And now the fact
But sometimes the major courage isn't the big you know, fighting the war, going off to World War II, fighting, you know, some big... Sometimes it's a daily battle. Of small things, and small things that happen at work, small things that happen at home, small things that happen in life, when taken in the aggregate, you get to a chance to exercise your muscle. You don't run away from it, and you try to work through it instead of taking a powder. And then I think it gives you the muscles to deal with the huge issues that then come up.
Well, my dad was in World War II. He was in a Marine 1st Division, so he was in first landing on 7 of the landings in the Pacific, and in his company, almost everyone was killed by the end of the war.
And he was probably just a kid.
Yeah, he was 18.
He was 18 years old, so can you imagine being confronted with that, and then almost everybody in your company being killed? And you're just a kid, you know, just basically trying to figure out life, and you're 18 years old? I mean, that's pretty remarkable. I think that's why that generation came back, and they were really tough, and they really had a spine.
But if you knew him, here's the point why I brought him up. The way he lived his life after the war was his courage. It's how he dealt with the things that he dealt with every day. Bad things happened in business relationships, et cetera, et cetera. And how he handled those things is why I admire him.
Well, he handled them, and maybe he got a grounding when he was just thrown into it at the age of 18. Matt, I thank you for the call. 349-1320. Eric in Antelope. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
I am very well, thank you.
I am one of your conservative listeners who happens to be happy that you and Air America is on the air.
Thank you.
To listen to opposing points of view.
Thank you.
Keep me on my toes. Two issues. Well, first of all, you mentioned courage in the military. I am a recent military retiree. I did serve in Iraq and Kuwait as well. And sure, it changes people. It changes people for the rest of their lives. It changes your perspectives. Things that used to be real big to you don't seem as great. You know, you understand where I'm going?
Sort of.
Little things in life that used to seem so big to me just aren't as big anymore because of what I went through. I did want to bring a political point into this, and that is, yes, you mentioned that Bush uses fear, et cetera, et cetera. The Democratic Party is also very good at using fear. They put fear into the weakest of us. They take the old people and tell us Republicans are going to cut your Medicare, throw you out on the street, you'll be eating dog food. They tell poor people that they're going to take their checks away. I remember during the Gore campaign, they said black churches are going to burn if you vote for Republicans. So, you know, it's
but you know what? I don't think so. I really think that this administration since 9/11, however much you might allege that Democrats have used fear, and I don't see it quite the way that you do, but I'll give you that if you want that one. However much you think that Democrats have used fear, It is nothing compared to what the Republicans are doing. Stay the course. Cut. Democrats are cut and run. They really are using fear that it's that the, if we aren't in Iraq, the terrorists are going to be knocking on your door. When in fact, they've made the country less safe for us, and they have helped in the manufacture of more terrorists. So it's not only the manufacture of fear that they're engaged in, but also the manufacture of dishonesty that is going along with it. And I think it's unconscionable. I think if you had a real leader like an FDR, who people coming out of the worst part of the depression or still mired in the worst part of the depression, did the opposite. He wanted to empower people, and he was really good at doing that, and not like this administration. So I will disagree with you on that, Eric. I do thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-620-613-20. Robert in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Robert.
Hey, how you doing, Enid?
Doing well, thank you.
Okay, I just want to talk about the little challenges real quick in life. I've been married to the same lady for 42 years. We have four boys. I'm going back a few years now. One boy was lost when he was 5 years old for 5 days in the woods, given up for dead on the fourth day, found by evening or by accident on the evening of the fifth day. One of my sons was stabbed after a high school dance. Very brutal. One of my sons is gay, and one of my sons is crippled with cerebral palsy. And you know something? We keep moving forward, and we're stronger people.
Wow. You've really had it, haven't you?
Yeah, but it's all good because they're all still alive.
They're all still alive. You all love each other, and it's just what happens. And you're right. There's nothing. There are certain things, and there's nothing to be done. You just have to, as you put it, move forward. It's what it is. And this is the hand that you're dealt in that situation, and you have to move along. But, boy, you really have our admiration on this, Robert. I thank you very much for calling and sharing it.
You bet.
Thanks. Thank you. 349-1320, 866-620-613-20. I mean, that's amazing. I just have to, the Hindus believe that you make a deal before you're born into this life to accept whatever happens. You made a deal to be born into a bad family, a family that you hate, and they hate you, and then you have all these physical and mental challenges. I mean, are the Hindus right about that? If that's true, then everybody signs on to it, and it's done so that you can learn whatever the lessons are in this life, and then you don't have to be born again. I mean, reincarnated. 349-1320, 866-620-613-20. Somehow I find that a comforting thought, actually. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Well, thank you very much, and I wish I had a comforting thought for you as far as traffic goes. But Southbound 99 is not very comforting around this time. It's 452, and as usual, Southbound 99, Fruit Ridge Road, Mack Road, Sheldon, and on there to Elk Grove Boulevard, we have a couple of crashes going on. Airbase just east of Watt Avenue. That three-car crash is slowing things down. Northbound Cap City Freeway at Fulton Avenue. Stopping traffic, a two-car crash from Madison Avenue and Hazel Avenue. We have two cars there stopping traffic down. Enid Live continues 79 here at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
She's not right, but she's never wrong.
Yeah.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
New rule. Jewish people have to start. The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to. Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left Channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to hallswindowcenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Four on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. I would just want to remind you that Dr. Helen Caldicott will be on with the boys, Scott and Sims, and Morning Retort tomorrow at 8 o'clock in the morning, and it should be a very interesting interview. I'm getting all kinds of political emails from all of you, but before I share them with you, let's go to the phones, and you can email me, Enid at kctc.com. Frank in Woodland. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Frank.
Hi there. How are you today?
I am very well, thank you. What's on your mind?
Well, I only have one comment about Mr. Schwarzenegger.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody remembers when he was running before, but he said that he had all his own money and that he would not take special interest money.
Okay.
And now he still has all his own money plus special interest money.
He is taking as much special interest money as he can glom onto, and it's a lot of special interest money. Developers, finance, energy, you name it.
Oh, I know.
All right. I thank you for reminding us. Thanks, Frank. 349-1320. I got this from Eva. Eva says, I believe Phil won the debate hands down. However, Phil missed two huge opportunities to score big points with his base. One, she thinks he should have asked Arnold to disclose what was discussed at the Enron meeting he attended with 12 other California Republicans at the Peninsula Hotel, Beverly Hills, May 17, 2001. Well, I don't know about that. And number two, ask Arnold to explain why he won't release the audio tape that includes all the defamatory and racially motivated remarks he made about Assemblywoman Bonnie Garcia. I don't know about that. I don't know if that really would have played very well. I think it would have made Phil look small and cheesy, but... you may disagree with that. Meanwhile, we haven't talked about Doolittle, and there's some news to report. The Bee is reporting that Doolittle accepted money from Mark Foley's PAC, and he doesn't want to return it. The minute that Doolittle money maw grabs your donations, you never see them again. That's it. They go. And I am still getting emails from the Schwarzenegger campaign. They are spinning like crazy. They are now Schwartzies at African American churches in Los Angeles, and then they always quote people from various pastors and stuff who seem to be dissing the Democrats and promoting Arnold. And so that's what I'm getting in terms of the email blast. We haven't talked about Mark Foley, but boy, there's an awful lot more information, and I will share that with you as we go along, and we'll be doing that in our next hour. But there are all these new polls coming out. About half of Americans believe that the scandal over Foley means that his...
full-court press at the U.N.
We'll be going 24-7 if we need to be to get this resolution adopted quickly.
U.S. Ambassador John Bolton is circulating a draft Security Council resolution in response to North Korea's claimed nuclear test. According to the Associated Press, it incorporates some new proposals from Japan with ideas put out earlier by the Bush administration.
I'm Lou Miliano with the United Nations. The U.S. is proposing some of the harshest sanctions yet against North Korea to be considered in the resolution by the Security Council. Ambassador John Bolton also wants the resolution to fall under Chapter 7 of the U.N. Charter. This grants the Security Council the authority to impose a range of measures, from breaking diplomatic ties and imposing economic and military sanctions to taking military action. None of the Security Council states has even suggested the potential of military action, but it is known the U.S. wants all options on the table to give the resolution teeth. Lou Miliano, CBS News, the United Nations.
A CBS News New York Times poll finds deepening concern about the situation in Iraq.
Just 31% of Americans, the lowest number ever, say that the war in Iraq is going well. 66%, two-thirds, say it's going badly. That's affected the president's approval rating on handling Iraq and probably affected the president's approval rating overall.
Director of Surveys Kathleen Frankovic says Mr. Bush's approval rating on Iraq is down to 30%. It was 45% 2 years ago. The Army's in an uphill battle for recruits these days. They think this will help. A new $200 million ad campaign launching next month does away with the slogan, an army of one, in favor of Army Strong.
Remember, this is a soldier-centric army. Everything we do as an army is centered around the soldier and strong and strength.
Army Secretary Francis Harvey. The Army exceeded its goal of 80,000 recruits this year, but only because it relaxed the standards. Statistics obtained by the Associated Press show more than 2,600 soldiers got in under new, lower aptitude levels. Quite a score for two young guys in California. YouTube, the website they started less than 2 years ago with offices over a pizzeria, has been sold to Google for $1.65 billion in stock. CBS News technology consultant Larry Magid says YouTube is wildly popular.
It has 100 million clips a day being viewed by people, so a lot of people are going there. A great many young people will go there to upload, download, watch video that's produced by amateurs, and also, in some cases, professional video with or without copyright permission.
YouTube has formed partnerships with various entertainment companies, including CBS, in an effort to resolve copyright infringement issues. On Wall Street today, the Dow Industrials 7 points higher, closing at 11,857. The Nasdaq up 11 points. This is CBS News.
If there were a store on your main street called Peace of Mind, would you pay it a visit? On main streets all across America, there is such a place. New York Life. We have been offering customers peace of mind for over 160 years. Peace of mind comes from our agents who adhere to the values of financial strength, integrity, and humanity. So look for us in your town. Peace of mind is why New York Life is the company you keep.
Hi, I'm Sterling Marlin, driver of the number 14 Waste Management Chevrolet.
And I'm Bill Lester, driver of the number 23 Waste Management car.
You know, we're just two drivers of a team of 30,000.
That's because our team at Waste Management has drivers and pit crews all over the country.
So if you're revved up for a new career, call Waste Management at 877-220-JOBS.
Call now and get it in gear.
From everyday collection to environmental protection, think green, think Waste Management. Call 877-220-JOBS today.
Playtime should be almost all the time for children. CBS News correspondent Peter King reports on the latest research.
A new report says parents tend to pile on enrichment activities, classes, and videos at an earlier age, but it's happening at the expense of real and unstructured, spontaneous fun. The American Academy of Pediatrics says that can lead to more stress for parents and kids. The pressure to create so-called super children can just be too much. One doctor says kids crammed with pre-planned activities are missing out on the chance to dream, fantasize, and make their own world work the way they want it to. Peter King, CBS News.
Sports teams sell the naming rights to their stadiums. Now Marine Sergeant Cody Baker is trying to sell the naming rights to him. Baker's trying to raise money so he can go to college when he leaves the Marine Corps. He also wants to help an orphanage in Thailand. His website, choosemyname.com, offers the highest bidder a chance to give him a new name. Entries so far include Oprah Winfrey and King Taco. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Reporters who thought that he did okay, he acquitted himself, but that there was no knockout punch. I thought he did very well. But there are even some people who think Schwartzy did well, which I don't see at all. It's interesting how you can see the same thing and come to a completely different conclusion, but that's how it is. So, I need to tell you that you're listening to KCTC Sacramento. In case you didn't know that, well, now you do. KCTC Sacramento. In any event, you have a lot of different views on how the debate went, what the fallout from the debate is going to be, whether it's going to be enough to really put Phil over. As somebody pointed out, he needs to do three points a week in order to catch up with Arnold, or Arnold has to do something not very good for his numbers to plummet. Where is Wesley in all this? I thought Wesley was going to help out the Democrats. Like a good loser, he lost in the primary, but he was going to put his efforts behind pushing Phil. Well, I think he'd like to push Phil over a cliff, actually. But we haven't seen anything from Wesley. We haven't heard anything from Wesley. I mean, he is really among the disappeared, isn't he? We also talked in the last hour with Arianna Huffington. She's written a book on being fearless. And I like that topic a lot because I think it's a muscle that we are called on to use in daily life. And even though there's a shrink residing on every single corner these days and on practically every radio and television station, you can hardly turn on anything or read a magazine without encountering a shrink. I don't know that we are any more emotionally mature or emotionally more developed than we were when there wasn't a shrink on every corner. But the whole idea about being fearless is that everybody encounters challenging situations, and how you deal with them really defines the success of your life. It isn't that people who appear fearless are fearless. It's that they have learned how to navigate through the fear. They've learned not to run away when something seems scary at first. They might run away, but then they might stick their head back out and kind of look at it and scope it out and feel how it feels and figure out a way to get through that part of it. And maybe there's another fearful thing that happens, and then you figure out a way to get through that part of it. And so it goes until finally you have navigated through a tough situation. Maybe that's why that generation, the World War II generation, when they came back, they were successful. I know that there were boom times anyway, post-World War II. But those young kids, 18 years old, thrown into situations where, as you heard one of our callers say, everybody else in the company died practically, and here's an 18-year-old figuring out how to navigate, really, between life and death. And then after that, how hard can it be? But when you're forced to use those muscles, don't run away, develop them. And nobody gets out of this life without being challenged in one way or another, without encountering things that scare you. But I do like the line from Franklin Roosevelt, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. And here we have an administration that is using fear in every way that it can to manipulate us. It shows you that they have so little coin, that they have so little substance to use that they are reduced to trying to scare us with fear. Well, I want to add to our discussion, I want to talk about, in addition to all the things that we've been discussing, I want to talk about Foley, because more information is coming out about Mark Foley. Mark Foley, of course, is the Republican congressman who was trolling for pages. He was hitting on these pages. Now, let me tell you what Rush is saying about that. I was listening to Rush on Friday night, a replay. And, or maybe it was Saturday, I forget. He was making a big thing out of the fact that Foley actually never had sex with these underage pages. It was just a lot of playing and horsing around and conversation. Really? Is that going to fly? 349-1320? 866-620-1320? That they never really had sex? Well, somebody has come forward who did have sex with him, although I think he was of age when that occurred. But it was somebody who was a former page. Foley waited until he was of age, and then he pounced on him. But a Republican congressman knew that Foley's inappropriate internet exchanges as far back as 2000, so we are talking 6 years ago, and personally confronted Foley about these communications. The congressman is Representative Jim Colby of Arizona, also Republican, and some people are saying that he might be gay, so I don't know if he is or if he's in the closet or he's out of the closet or if he's happily married or any of those things, but in any event, apparently there's some investigation about Colby, but he confirmed that a former page showed the congressman internet messages that had made the page, the young man, feel uncomfortable with the direction Foley was taking in their email relationship. Last week, when the Foley matter erupted, a Colby staff member suggested to the former page that he take the matter to the clerk of the House. In any event, the revelation pushes back by at least 5 years the date when a member of Congress has acknowledged learning of Foley's behavior with former pages. So a timeline issued by Denny Hastert suggested that the first time anybody knew about it was only last fall. And it also spans the universe of players in the drama beyond the members, either in leadership or on the board itself. So a source with direct knowledge of Colby's involvement said the messages shared with Colby were sexually explicit. And he read the contents to the Washington Post under the condition that they may not be reprinted. So sexually explicit. And this, some of the messages that, you know, and you can look at all this stuff online, so I don't know why we have to be so prissy around here, but we do because the FCC will haul us all off to the pokey if we're not. But all this stuff is online, and some of it's pretty graphic. And some of it is highly, it is highly inappropriate. If a teacher, I'm going to tell you something. These online chat rooms where people, you know, these guys are trolling for underage boys or girls, usually girls, and they think they're going to meet, you know, they have these all this explicit talk, and no sex happens, and then they arrange a meeting, and it's not a 12-year-old girl that they think they're going to meet, but it's always like a 40 or 45-year-old male FBI agent who pretends to be a 12-year-old girl. You know, nobody has wised up to this scam yet, I guess. Well, nothing has happened there either. They haven't even met. But on the basis of those explicit emails back and forth, these people are in trouble. So you have got the right wing talking about how the Democrats were involved in this, but so far they have not been able to point to any Democratic involvement. You have an ex-page. A former House page said that he had sex with Foley after receiving explicit emails in which the congressman described assessing the sexual orientation and physical attributes, get your rulers out, young men, of underage pages, but waiting until later to make direct advances. The former page, who agreed to discuss this relationship with Foley with the Los Angeles Times on the condition that he not be identified, said that his electronic correspondence with Foley began after he finished the respected Capitol Hill Page program for high school juniors. His sexual encounter was in the fall of 2000. He said at that time he was 21 years old and a graduate of a rural northeastern college. So he goes on to share some of the information. But here's another piece of news that is revealed. The young man said that while serving as a page, he and his fellow pages gossiped frequently about Foley's overly friendly behavior, but did not complain about him to program supervisors or other members of Congress. They named him Triple F. Triple F, they named Foley for Florida Fag Foley. One evening, four of the boys made an unannounced visit to Foley's home. We knocked on his door and he let us in. Nothing happened, but he was very friendly, the former page said. Foley's flirtations made the young man feel important at a time when he was struggling with his emerging sexuality. It seemed cool that he was taking an interest, he said. I knew he was gay, and I knew that he was attracted to me. After leaving the program, the former page began receiving messages from Foley. He's uncertain how Foley knew his college instant message name, but assumed that the congressman had access to a directory listing former page's whereabouts. The exchanges quickly became provocative. In one exchange, Foley inquired about the length and direction of the youth's erection. The length and direction of the youth's erection. I always thought you were gay, Foley commented. Is it obvious, the former page asked. Ultimately, the young man said he had a sexual encounter with Foley at the congressman's Washington home. He was then, however, 21. He was in Washington as an intern in an unrelated program. The two had wine and pizza in a backyard patio and then retired to a spare bedroom. Well, he was over 21. at that time. It's consensual. You do what you want. But Foley had sort of been priming him since the kid was 16. I think it's so inappropriate. I can't even begin to tell you. He and other former pages were surprised that it took so long for Foley to get caught, he said. It most saddens me because of the damage it could do to the program, the young man said of the page system. It was the most spectacular year of my life. I would love to do it all over again. So this is the program you do when you were 16 years old or about a junior in high school. The PAGE program. In the meanwhile, you've got people like James Dobson from Focus on the Family, and they believe that Foley is the victim of a sort of a joke and a prank by the PAGES. James Dobson, a kind of echo a claim previously made by Matt Drudge and Savage, Michael Weiner, or otherwise known as Michael Savage, that the sexually explicit communications that Foley allegedly engaged in with former congressional pages were, quote, sort of a joke or a prank on the part of the former pages. Here's what Dobson has said, and this is what Rush says. So these are the Republican talking points. As it turns out, says James Dobson from Focus on the Family, Mr. Foley has had illicit sex with no one that we know of. And the whole thing turned out to be what some people are now saying was a sort of joke by the boy and some of the other pages. You want to comment on that? Here's James Dobson, Focus on the Family. If Bill Clinton, who Dobson had only the worst things to say. Now, remember, Bill Clinton engaged in consensual sex, and Monica Lewinsky was an adult. Foley had horrible things to say about, he called Clinton evil. He said, he just had terrible things to say about Bill Clinton. But about Foley, he says, as it turns out, Mr. Foley has had illicit sex with no one that we know of, and the whole thing turned out to be what some people are now saying was a sort of joke by the boy and some of the other pages. This is James Dobson. Now, if a teacher or a person of some influence and power had come on and said these things to his 16-year-old child, I don't believe that he would have had the same response. 349-1320. Or 866-626-1320. And did the Democrats do it? Despite reports in The Hill that the source for ABC News' original report on Foley was a Republican congressional staffer, several conservatives in the media still assert that the topic is up for debate. They believe that Democrats are the one that somehow provided this information. On ABC's This Week, George Stephanopoulos asked Rahm Emanuel, chairman of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, all week long, there have been suggestions on talk radio and by Republicans and their allies that this was perhaps a Democratic dirty trick. And I just want to ask you plainly, did you or your staff know anything about these emails or instant messages before they came out? Then on NBC, Tim Russert quoted House Speaker Hastert from a Chicago Tribune interview asserting the people who want to see this blow up, this is Hastert saying, are ABC News and a lot of Democratic operatives, people funded by George Soros, and then added that Soros has given millions and millions of dollars to Democratic causes. He then asked Missouri State Auditor Claire McCaskill, a Democratic candidate for Senate, have any Democratic operatives been involved in spreading this information? Matt Lauer on the Today Show also repeated Hastert's comments, describing the theory as the Republicans' version of the vast right-wing conspiracy. Melissa Block of NPR's All Things Considered interviewed former House Ethics Committee Chair Joel Heffley from Colorado about the Foley scandal after Heffley said the Ethics Committee should look at whether House Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi's office was involved in the scandal. Can you believe this? It's somehow the Democrats' fault that Foley, holier than thou, got caught up in this scandal. Foley created this himself. This is a wholly owned concoction of a Republican. 349-1320. Laura in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Enid. I think that the RNC has known, or the leadership of the Republican Party has known for years about his predilection for underage young men. However, they see him as a convenient ATM. He's been in a safe seat. He's a fundraiser, and they want to keep that money coming, so they are more than happy to look the other way. And as far as trying to hang this on the Democrats, I think it's just part of the Rovian spin machine, you know, that oft-told lie. If they knowingly report that lie enough times that this is a Democrat Party October surprise, their base will believe them, because the base pretty much believes any old line they trot out any time.
Well, Laura, let me share with you today's front page of the New York Times. Here's the headline: Evangelicals blame Foley, not the GOP. So they're exempting the GOP from supporting, protecting, coddling, and enabling Foley to do what he's doing. It's Foley's issue. And see, this is what you do when you're faced with cognitive dissonance. When the person or the party or the thing you're in love with turns out to be a complete fraud, do you want to know that? No. You don't want to know that. So you know what? It was Foley's fault. He was a bad apple. Everybody else is good, and I can still be a Republican and vote for Doolittle.
Ew,
that's right. Ooh, give me a gas mask. All right, thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Tony in Roseville. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Tony.
Oh, hi. Enid, good to speak with you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to state, has anyone brought up the fact that this is sexual harassment, regardless of the fact of whether they were underage or not, and anything that occurred may have been after they were of age? It's still hideous.
It's very hideous. I didn't say sexual harassment, although I think it's come up in previous discussions. But it is. If this happened in the workplace, Foley would have been fired.
Exactly. I mean, you can't behave this way.
All right. So what about guys like Rush or James Dobson who say, "Hey, guess what? It was just a prank, and no illicit sex happened." Foley didn't actually have sex with any of these underage kids. So, hey, it was just a joke.
I think it's still wrong, and they need to accept the fact that it's wrong, take responsibility, and appropriate action. You don't cover it up at any level.
Well, I agree with you. And if this were a case where it would have been a daddy and daughter kind of a chat room where some older guy was saying these things to a young girl who turns out to be a 45-year-old male FBI agent and setting up a meeting, those emails would have been enough to potentially haul this guy off to the pokey.
I agree. I don't see how it's any different than some of those sting operations that they that they perform in terms of these internet chat rooms, and then the individual comes to their home. I don't see that any different than when Foley went to the the Page's dormitory. Isn't that the same type of thing?
Oh, I think you know, and all the Pages knew about Foley. Everybody knew about Foley. And here, you know what else is emerging? To the extent to which the Republicans, always trying to use gays as pinatas, really work with people who are gay, have them on their staffs, are comfortable. They're just using it as a wedge issue. And if you're gay and you work for some of these people who are using you as a wedge issue, I've got to ask about how you can do that. Thank you, Tony. I appreciate the call. 349-1320. 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, lows tonight, we're going to see 55, 30% humidity. Highs, we're sitting at 79, and the traffic is sitting at slow, southbound 99 by Fruit Ridge Road. Couple of hazards, we have vehicles in the roadway, southbound 99 at Elk Grove Boulevard, causing a three-car crash. Southbound 99 just north of Dillard Road, we do have a disabled vehicle and causing a three-car crash. Northbound Cap City Freeway at Fulton Avenue, Fair Oaks Boulevard at Sunset Avenue, and it looks like southbound 99 at Elk Grove Boulevard. Ooh, there's another crash there as well. Westbound I-80, just east of Reed Avenue, we have a three-car crash. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Doing full frontal talk radio, AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
I can't wait to hear the rest of the show.
The color
Color pink represents the promise to find a cure for breast cancer. That promise started the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation and ignited the passion of millions to create a world without breast cancer. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We are reaching out to you to make a difference this month by making a personal donation to the Komen Foundation and by showing your passion for the cure by wearing pink one or more days in October. Anything you can do to heighten the awareness of this cause can make a difference. To share your promise and to donate funds to our passion, log on to 1320leftchannel.com.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
About gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence. Great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Halls Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. SMUD financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sims.
To understand it.
Mitt Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy. See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott!
It's very
erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Play perfectly. I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club, and I received $100 in free bonus play.
Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly.
Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots, and bonus play just keeps the action going.
Play, bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA four-diamond casino resort. Just join the Cash Club, and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cash Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit cashcreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
349-1320. 529 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. We're talking about Foley. This just in, CNN poll shows huge gains for the Democrats. A new poll just revealed by CNN indicates that Republicans are going to have an uphill battle ahead of them in the 29 days. And remember, 29 days is almost a month. So plenty can happen in a month. They can have a false alert, a terror alert, and an incident. They can hack the voting machines. They're not going quietly into that night, and they don't want to be investigated. But in any event, if it goes the way we think it's going to go, this poll by CNN indicates that Republicans are going to have an uphill battle ahead of them in the 29 days before the midterm elections, with 52% indicating they believe there was a deliberate cover-up of the Foley affair, and an equal number reporting that they believe Speaker of the House Hastert should resign. More Democrats are indicating they are enthusiastic about voting than Republicans are. More astonishing, however, is that while 58% of Democrats consider themselves likely to vote, only 44% of Republicans see themselves heading to the polls this November. In all, CNN is reporting that the Democratic lead among likely voters has nearly doubled from 11 to 21 points in the last week. From 11 to 21, huge gains for Democrats. But is anybody going to remember in 3 weeks? That would be my question. We don't have any kind of a memory. And if you recall, one of the reasons that Foley gave for his behavior, there were 3 reasons. He's in rehab, alcohol. What was the second reason? The third one was that he was molested. He's gay. And then he was molested by a member of the clergy. He wouldn't identify who. Well, victims advocates and in a Florida diocese urge Foley to name the alleged abuser. The Roman Catholic Diocese of Palm Beach, Florida, and national advocacy groups for victims of sexual abuse called for former and now disgraced representative Mark Foley to give police the name of the clergyman who allegedly abused him as a teenager. He should absolutely report the perpetrator, living or dead, said the national director of Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests. He should do it now, not when a civil lawyer says it is convenient. Every day that a molester walks free is a day when he can hurt other kids. His attorney told reporters, David Roth, that the former congressman who was raised as a Catholic was molested by a clergyman when he was 13 to 15 years old. But there are people who know him and believe that this never occurred. People have known him since childhood, and they believe that this never occurred. So there you have it. The new news on Foley is that somebody reported him in the year 2000 to the Republican leadership. And they've known for a long time. They've probably known before 2000. It's been known as early as 1995. And the pages all knew that Foley had a problem and that he was completely inappropriate. But if you're 16 years old, you're not going to be believed. And they were right. They didn't come forward. Until this happened, they didn't come forward. And what the Republicans are trying to do, they're trying to spin it in two ways. That somehow there's a Democrat involved with this, and that the Democrats leaked this right before the election. And what people like Dobson and Rush are saying is, hey, no illicit sex ever took place. So what's the big deal? Is that going to fly? Do you buy this? Is this going to work with Republicans? And the New York Times is reporting that evangelicals are blaming Foley, but they're not blaming the GOP. As word of Mark Foley's sexually explicit email messages to former pages spread last week, Republican strategists worried and Democrats hoped that the sordid nature of the scandal would discourage conservative Christians from going to the polls. But in dozens of interviews, many said that the episode only reinforced their reasons to vote for the Republican incumbents. The Democratic Party is the party that is tolerant of, and maybe more so than Republicans, that lifestyle, referring to homosexuality. So that's what they believe, even though it turns out that the Republican Party has been just about as open, I think. The difference is Republicans will work with gay staff, gay legislators, and so on, except that the Republicans use them as piñatas. So they diss them. It's okay if they serve, and it's okay if they're on your staff. It's okay to work with them, but you know what? We're going to make fun of them. We're going to use them to get votes. We're going to step on them wherever we can to advance ourselves. How honorable is that? 349-1320, 866-620-6 1320. Janie and Sack, hi. You're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Janie.
Hi, Enid. You know, you were talking a moment ago about how they were saying that it was all a prank, that the pages were playing, and basically it sounds like they were just blaming the victims.
It's a way to deflect any blame from the leadership. Yeah, blaming the victim, without saying you're blaming the victim, you're just deflecting it. It's just a prank. This isn't serious. He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't actually have illicit sex, etc.
And then to try to rope the Democrats into it just kills me. It's perfect. It's absolutely hilarious to watch them try to move around and shift things and try to find a way to blame it on the Democrats.
I know. I think this is, you know, you got to sit there and watch how they're going to try and spin it.
It's amazing.
Isn't it amazing? Thank you. Thanks for the call. 349-1320. Okay, here it is, the Borowitz Report. A poll. Majority of Americans fear being instant messaged by a Republican. It tops terrorism, North Korean nukes in this new survey. A new survey released today indicates that a majority of Americans are more afraid of being IM'd or emailed by a Republican congressman than they are of terrorism, rising oil prices, or North Korea destroying the world with a nuclear weapon. Anecdotal evidence in recent days has suggested that Americans are increasingly concerned about receiving unwanted electronic communications from a Republican lawmaker. But the new poll, conducted by the University of Minnesota's Opinion Research Institute, offers a measure of just how deep those concerns run. When asked to name their number one fear, 8% said losing my job to outsourcing. 10% said not being able to afford to fill up my car with gas. 14% said North Korean dictator Kim Jong-il blowing up the world with a nuclear weapon, while a whopping 65% said being instant messaged by a horny Republican. Carol Foiler, the director of GOP Perv Watch, Grand Old Pervs. I always thought it was GOP was Greedy Old Pimps, but I guess I have it wrong now. A watchdog group that warns parents about their children's internet contact with pervy Republicans said that there are simple ways for parents to determine if their kids have been chatting online with a filthy-minded GOP lawmaker. As parents, it's our responsibility to monitor who our children are talking to online, Ms. Foiler said. If you hear your child start to use phrases like tax cut, stay the course, or family values, those are danger signs that he has been chatting with a horny Republican. Elsewhere, eliminating such snacks as potato chips and donuts from school lunch menus could help curb childhood obesity, according to a new study published today in The Magazine, the Borowitz Report. 349-1320, Dave in Roseville. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Dave.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
You know, I keep having the same question run through my mind. How can a gay person, a gay man or woman, even be a member of the Republican Party, knowing how much they are just the whipping boy and hated. I mean, it sounds like a classic case of self-loathing.
That is a really good question, isn't it? I mean, you have a job, and you have a job with a... Well, look at Mary Cheney, for example, Dick Cheney's exactly. daughter. I mean, that administration couldn't wait to use gays in the most horrific pinata, you know, turn them into pinatas for the purposes of the election. And she stood by it. She was considered a top strategist to her father. And you know what? She wrote a book dissing Kerry and calling him slime.
Yeah, I mean, it would be like, Jews going, campaigning for Hitler or something like that. You know, somebody that is, you are the target of the party. How could you possibly affiliate yourself and look at yourself in the mirror every day? It makes absolutely no sense to me.
I agree with you, but how you could be a log cabin Republican, which is what the gay Republicans call themselves, I don't know. I mean, we could put it out there and see if anybody will respond to us. I thank you for pointing it out, Dave. If you are a log cabin Republican, or if you're a Republican, I'd love to have your views on this whole Holy Foley incident, and whether this is going to change any of your voting habits or not, whether it's going to keep you from voting. If you're a gay Republican, how can you reconcile this with the way that the Republican Party has treated people who are gay? I don't understand how you can continue to support that party. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. We have lows tonight looking right around 55. Highs coming up tomorrow near 80. 79 here in the River City. And also we might see a little bit of sprinkly rain going on for the next couple of days, but it's just been beautiful. We have a vehicle in the roadway northbound I-5 at Q Street stopping traffic. We have a vehicle that's on fire. Now, that's at eastbound 50 just east of Missouri Flat, Placerville. But that's stopping traffic on into Sacramento. Looks like it's on the other side. Eastbound 90 just east of Norwood, southbound I-5 just north of 25th, Manzanita Avenue just south of Auburn Boulevard, and southbound 99 at Elk Grove Boulevard. All two car crashes, stopping traffic. Enid Live continues at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
She's not right, but she's never wrong. Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... New rule, no more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
The color pink represents the promise to find a cure for breast cancer. That promise started the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation and ignited the passion of millions to create a world without breast cancer. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We are reaching out to you to make a difference this month by making a personal donation to the Komen Foundation and by showing your passion for the cure by wearing pink one or more days in October. Anything you can do to heighten the awareness of this cause can make a difference. To share your promise and to donate funds to our passion, log on to 1320 Left Channel.
Harmonic opens its 10th anniversary season on Saturday, October 14th at 8 p.m. in the Community Center Theater with a world premiere of Night Fox, a new work by world-famous composer and conductor Andre Previn. Commissioned by the Philharmonic in honor of internationally acclaimed painter and Sacramentan Wayne Thiebaud. The concert will be repeated on Sunday, October 15th in a 3 p.m. matinee at the Mondavi Center for the Performing Arts in Davis. Previn's musical versatility has made him familiar to millions of people around the world. Wayne Thiebaud gained national prominence in the 1960s with his sensuous images of cakes, pies, and other common objects. He is an esteemed faculty alumnus of Sacramento State University and UC Davis. Other works in the program include works by Dvorak, Ravel, and Haydn. Tickets are available at the Community Center box office, 916-264-5181, and the Mondavi Center at 866-754-ARTS.
Talk to Enid now,
349-1320. 544 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. We're talking about Foley, the scandal, and I have some more poll results that have just come in. This is a CBS News, New York Times poll. Listen to this. Americans give Republican congressional leaders terrible marks for their handling of former Congressman Mark Foley's sexually explicit internet messages sent to male congressional pages. And 8 out of 10 think it is a serious matter for the country. Ooh, this is the new, this just was released. This is the CBS New York Times poll that says that most Americans give Republican congressional leaders terrible marks for their handling of Foley's sexually explicit email messages, and 8 in 10 think it is a serious matter for the country. Most think that House Republican leaders knew about Congressman Foley's sexually explicit emails for some time, but put their own political interests ahead of the safety of the congressional pages. As for Speaker Dennis Hastert, and by the way, Dennis Hastert's money situation has been reported extensively in the Chicago media, but for some reason has not been picked up nationally. And let me give it to you again. When he started public life, he had $300,000 in assets, and he now has $6 million in assets on a salary of something like under $200,000 a year. How did that happen? Well, it turned out he had real estate, and it became a road and a part of a program that he was pushing, and on and on and on. So in any event, most people think that House Republican leaders knew about Foley's sexually explicit emails, but put their own political interests ahead of the safety of the congressional pages. As for Hastert, more than 4 in 10 think that he should step down. So 40% believe he should step down. While Democrats now outscore the Republican Party, even in areas like ethical standards, once considered a Republican strength. Still, most voters now say that the Foley matter will make little difference in their vote next month. And Democrats are holding on to their large lead as the choice for Congress. Fewer Republican voters now say that they are enthusiastic about voting than said so last month. So Republicans have become less enthusiastic about voting. And fewer Republicans expect their party to win the majority of seats this year. Overall, Democrats hold sizable leads over Republicans among registered voters, similar to the lead they held last month. 49% of voters say that they would vote for the Democratic candidate for U.S. House of Representatives in their district if the election were held today, while 35% would support the Republican candidate. Among likely voters, the results are nearly the same. 50% would vote for the Democrat, and 36% would vote for the Republican. But don't forget, this is a group that could stage an October surprise, and I'm sure that they will figure something out. Don't count them out on this. 349-1320-866-626-1320. I also want to share with you an email that I just got from, we've been talking about all kinds of things. If you're just joining us, we've been talking about the debate, which we carried live on Saturday night. We've been talking about fear because Arianna Huffington was our guest and she's written a book on becoming fearless. And we're talking about Foley. And I just want to share with you this email I got from Schwartz's people. Listen to this. Today, Katie Levinson, who is the director, communications director of Schwartz's campaign, issued the following statement. Desperate times call for desperate measures for the Angelides campaign. On the heels of losing the debate and trailing by double digits in the polls, Phil Angelides' decision to take his campaign rhetoric from shrill to nasty will backfire when voters compare the governor's record to Phil Angelides' record of supporting tax hikes. We welcome this discussion. Get that? That in the wake of, on the heels of losing the debate, Phil didn't lose the debate, but this is, gives you a quality of the nastiness of the blast, the email blast that Schwartz's people are sending out. Also, Bill Durston is going to be on Channel 17 tonight, I think between 8 and 9 o'clock, I was told. So you might be able to find him there, Channel 17, between 8 and 9 o'clock. We're talking about Foley. We're talking about a movement that is trying to get Foley to identify the clergyman who abused him. We're talking about the fact that a page went to the Republican leadership in 2000, in the year 2000, which upends the whole timeline that Hastert and the Republicans have been talking about. We're talking about the fact that James Dobson and other religious leaders and people like Rush Limbaugh are exonerating Foley because, hey, no real sex took place. It was just a prank. 349-1320-866-626-1320. What do you think is going to happen as a result of this? That would be my question. And what nobody was talking about during the debate was the story that broke right before the debate. I don't know why it didn't come up. The story about the prisons and how the prison system is in meltdown. How Arnold has done nothing about the prison system, really. And the only idea he's got is to outsource some prisoners, and not all that many of them, to anybody who will take them. And here you have the receiver, Robert Sillin, is a federal receiver for the California Prison Medical Care System. He was appointed by U.S. District Court Judge Felton Henderson, and he started work as a receiver April 17. As executive manager of the state's prison medical care system, his assignment is to direct and support change, clear impediments to needed improvements, and provide leadership to bring the prison health care system up to constitutional standards. And you know what it sounds like? When I saw the story, it sounds like Abu Ghraib, really. Here's Robert Sillin, who wrote this piece specifically for the Sacramento Bee. He said, to reach one of San Quentin's medical clinics, you must walk past a row of 20 maximum security cells with inmates confined behind fine cross-hatched wire, barely visible. The floor is strewn with trash, puddles of water, and worse, from the runoff of inmate showers from the tiers above. Soap and hair drip off the guardrails of the walkways, leaving a slippery mess to dance around as you approach the clinic, which is shoehorned into a converted cell. A mildewed shower curtain hangs in front of the clinic's entrance to keep the water from spraying directly into the medical area. He says, I have run hospitals, clinics, and public health facilities for the past 40 years, and medical care in California prisons is unlike anything I have ever seen. Inhumane is a nice term for the conditions. From a clinical standpoint, it is almost unrecognizable. An exam room without a sink, a 53-bed medical unit with just one vital sign machine, and an emergency room with broken defibrillators are just three glimpses at this bleak picture. The environment for patients, medical providers, and custody staff is degrading, unsanitary, and unsafe. The resulting patient health outcomes tell a gruesome story. Needless deaths occur weekly in our prisons, either from lack of access to care or, worse, from access to it. Inmates are serving time and receiving court-appointed punishments for their deeds, but no one is sentenced by a judge to medical neglect or incompetence or to die from unaddressed kidney disease or uncontrolled diabetes. This is amazing. Is this amazing? I don't know why Phil didn't step on the gas with this one. 349-1320-866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Well, it makes me proud that I gave them a lecture earlier. I mean, all of you, a lecture on using your blinker because the traffic's looking good. I don't think it has anything to do with me, but you know what? Looking good, people. Nice. No incidents on the way. Southbound 99. 50, we do have a vehicle on the right-hand side, but it looks like everything's cleaned up. 79 and Enid Live continues at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
I'm just going to... say right now what we're not saying.
She's not right.
And let the chips fall.
But she's never wrong.
Let the chips fall. Let the chips fall where they may.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
The internet. It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the internet commercially. The world has turned against this. Your own personal internet. That is you and me. You and me. Tubes. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
More buzz than an afternoon caffeine break. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. A liberal dose of the truth applied daily.
Five 56 on the Monday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7. We've been talking about the latest on the Foley scandal. We've been talking about how the Republicans are trying to shift it onto Democrats. When that didn't work, they tried to say Foley didn't really actually engage in any illicit sex. Oh, and you know what I have, and we'll toot this in the next hour, the top five Bush rumors and what's really going on. We have to share all of this. And also what's happening with Charlie Brown. And also, I want to talk about some health issues, as a matter of fact. But a lot of major chains, you know, the Bush film, this is called the film that shows the assassination of a president. It's a controversial faux investigative documentary, Death of a President. And it appeared, it was screened at the Toronto.
ABC, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Left Channel.
And streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. President Bush calls North Korea's claimed nuclear test a provocative act, but his biggest worry is that Kim Jong-il might go into the export business.
The transfer of nuclear weapons or material by North Korea to states or non-state entities would be considered a grave threat to the United States.
The United States moved quickly at the UN, proposing a list of sanctions. Reportedly, a draft resolution is being circulated now. CBS's Charles Wolfson reports U.S. officials seem determined to make North Korea feel the pain.
The Bush administration's chief negotiator on North Korea, Assistant Secretary of State Christopher Hill, told reporters at the State Department, North Korea may think this will be like Pakistan, just explode a nuclear device and then weather the storm, but we're going to have to disabuse them of that, Hill said. We're not going to allow them to be a member of the Nuclear Weapons Club. It's too dangerous a region. Charles Wolfson, CBS News, the State Department.
CBS News Chief Washington correspondent Bob Schieffer reports the Foley scandal has shaken the public's faith in Republican congressional leaders just weeks before the crucial midterm elections.
Remember that Republican House Speaker Dennis Hastert said he didn't know about those suggestive emails that Congressman Foley sent to that 16-year-old House page? Well, our CBS News New York Times survey shows more than 60% of those polled believe Republican leaders did know. Even 40% of Republicans believe the leaders knew.
The poll also finds increasing concern about the war in Iraq. Two-thirds of those surveyed said they think it's going badly, and only 30% say they approve of President Bush's handling of the war. We almost had another school tragedy today. A 13-year-old boy walked into a middle school in Joplin, Missouri with an assault rifle. After saying, "Please don't make me do this," he fired a shot into the ceiling, but then the gun jammed and he fled. Police found him nearby. Jim Simpson is the school superintendent.
We're fortunate that no one was hurt in this because this student clearly shows that he had been planning this for some time.
In the seventh grader's backpack, they found military manuals, instructions on making a bomb, and detailed drawings of the school. The boy's parents kept the gun in a safe at home, but apparently he knew the combination. Internet search engine Google has a new business. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus reports it's announced a deal to acquire YouTube.
This is a major coup for Google because with buying YouTube, it has now become the leader in online video. And this is a growing area and opens up a lot of new revenue streams for Google.
It's also a coup for Steve Chen and Chad Hurley, the 27-year-olds who started YouTube in February 2005. They get $1.65 billion in stock. Today on Wall Street, the Dow up 7 points to 11,857. The Nasdaq gained 11 points. It closed at 2311. This is CBS News.
Where do you want to be?
Everybody has a different idea of the perfect home.
Now that the kids are grown, we want a smaller place.
We really need more room. There's a baby on the way.
I'll take a place with a garage for my new baby.
Find your perfect place. It's easy at REMAX.com. Now REMAX.com has more home listings to choose from than ever. Nobody sells more real estate than REMAX. Each office independently owned and operated.
Some people think all insurance is the same. They buy the least expensive they can find, and then they have an insurance claim. That's when they learn the hard way that not all insurance companies treat you the same. If being treated fairly and paid quickly are important to you when you or your business has a loss, you want Chubb. When you insure with Chubb, you're buying real insurance. So insure with the best. Insure with Chubb. To learn more, go to Chubb.com.
New research indicates you might be able to ward off Alzheimer's disease with a diet that's already known to be heart healthy.
High amounts of olive oil, fruits, veggies, legumes, and fish.
Low intake of saturated fatty acids and low intake of dairy products, meat, and poultry.
It's the Mediterranean diet. And oh yes,
regular but moderate amount of alcohol.
Follow it and you can reduce your Alzheimer's risk as much as 68%, says Columbia researcher Dr. Nick Skarmeyas. His study appears in the Archives of Neurology. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
In his ongoing effort to tweak the Bush administration, Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez has been providing millions of gallons of discounted heating oil to low-income Americans. But as cold as it gets in Alaska and as poor as they are, some Eskimo and Indian villages say no thanks. They feel it's their patriotic duty to refuse after Chavez went to the UN and called President Bush the devil. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News. Get the...
Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
Five minutes after 6 o'clock. Welcome to Hour 4 of the Monday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, and I want to thank the control room, Lisa West and Lauren Haley, because we have an ER going in there. Everybody's got that horrible cold that is going around that I had, and I still haven't really completely gotten rid of it. So they are heroic to come in here and tough it out. So thank you. Thank you, ladies. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Oh, lots of other Maloof news I haven't gotten to. Charlie Brown news, deep doo 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 little news. We're gonna get there. We have to. First of all, remember when Dickie was in town for Pombo last week? Guess what? The organizers were so worried about reporters talking to donors that they escorted the reporters into the bathroom. When the reporters had to use the John, they had a personal escort. Can you believe that? I'm not surprised. If you're joining us, just joining us, we've been talking about the debate, which we carried live on Saturday night, along with a special edition of election coverage, so that Scott Sims and I brought you all the news that there was and took your phone calls if you were not able to participate. Actually, it was pretty lively and it went pretty well, so that worked out very nicely, and we were delighted to do it. And more of that as things heat up. Also, we have been talking about Mark Foley. We've been talking about fear. Arianna Huffington was my guest in the 4 o'clock hour, talking about her new book on becoming fearless, which I think is probably a lifelong challenge. And I want to remind you that Helen Caldicott, the Nobel Prize winner and great peace activist, will be a guest on the Morning Retort tomorrow at 8 o'clock in the morning with Scott and with Sims. So you might want to set your... Go anywhere. Just leave the dial setting at AM 1320. Why would you want to go anywhere? We haven't talked about the Kings, and there have been a lot of plot twists. I just haven't gotten around to the Kings, but the rumor mill is full tilt. It turns out that a part owner of the Kings, the guy who wrote the check to bring the Kings to Sacramento in 1985, he said he was thinking about selling his 31% ownership in the Kings, and that there was something else. It's my understanding that they have an agreement to move the team to Anaheim, he said. I expect to read about it in the Bee. Oh! Is that really is that really true? Do you think that he was giving the Bee a heads up? Or do you think that he was trying to start a rumor that would in some way benefit him? I don't know. The arena adversaries dueled before a crowd. The arena faces stop-and-go politics, which means that in dealings in other cities, the MO is for the team owners to walk out all the time. When government leaders in Memphis sat down one morning in 2001 to begin negotiations to bring an NBA franchise to town, we didn't even make it until lunch, recalled a senior advisor. He could only watch as team representatives, upset at the city's initial proposals, stormed out of the room. Well, that's what the Maloofs has done, and apparently it's a widely used negotiating tactic. The other piece that I thought was interesting is that loyalty to the Kings may have a price limit. For many fans, the rail yard plant's cost is just too steep. It's going to be too expensive. Also, it's really muddled in the way it's handled. I'm not saying that it's not a good thing to develop the rail yards. I think that might be actually wind up being a very good thing. But it may very well be that the best thing for Sacramento won't be the best thing for the Kings, and that this is apples and oranges. That in developing the rail yard, the best thing for Sacramento might be a range of uses and a range of development that simply would not work for the Maloofs, it wouldn't work for the Kings, and it wouldn't work for putting a stadium down there. And they're trying to put two things together that absolutely are not going to work together and are absolutely not going to have a benefit. Remember what they always said, if you try to shoot two targets at once, you hit neither? Well, that's what it feels like with the development of the rail yard, which in any event is up in the air. All of it is up in the air. They won't tell you what the money's going to go for if you do wind up going for the increase in sales tax, which I think we'd be nuts to do. So that's the latest on the arena. 349-1320, 866. 626-1320. When it comes to the debate, Dan Walters' headline on his column that Angelides, a home run eluded him. He didn't have a home run. I thought he did very well, but I know that Dan Walters doesn't seem to be, at least in his columns, he seems to be much harder on Phil than he is on Arnold. So I don't know what that's all about, but he decides that Angelides didn't hit a home run. I thought Angelides had done very well. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. A month before, Deep Doo-Doo, Doolittle, John Doolittle, took action that would help disgraced lobbyist Jack Abramoff win back a contract to represent the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands in blocking immigration and labor reforms. He heard sworn witnesses describing some of the sordid abuses the legislation was intended to halt. At a hearing in 1999 before the House Resources Committee, witnesses told of deplorable working conditions, trafficking in women, and forced prostitution. Now, 7 years later, Deep Doo-Doo-Doolittle's opposition to the reforms in the U.S. territory has become a dominant issue in his campaign for a ninth term in Congress. Now, remember, Doolittle said he would never serve this long, and of course he has. In radio ads, Democratic challenger Charlie Brown has accused Doolittle of tolerating forced abortion and sex slavery as he joined with the House Republican leadership in viewing the burgeoning garment industry there as an incubator for capitalism. So these people who have called themselves family values have been exposed, whether it's the Northern Marianas issue, whether it's the Abramoff scandal, whether it's what's going on with Foley. All of the things they say they are have nothing to do with what they really are. So again, you have people who are masters in advertising, masters at marketing, masters in spinning, but the reality is something else. And now it's coming back to bite Doolittle in his rather considerable behind. What's interesting here is that this story appeared on page 3 of the Sacramento Bee. So it looks to me like their reporting is really trying to, unlike with Durston, where they've really not gone after Lundgren, it looks to me like they are going after Doolittle, and I'm delighted that they are. And I'm glad that Charlie Brown is looking as good as he is. So, 349-1320, 866-626-1320. The top 5 Bush rumors. Rumor: Dickie's depressed and medicated. Evidence: his occasional dazed demeanor is a classic sign of prescription antidepressants. The D.C. online political news magazine Capitol Hill Blue has alleged that Dickie has been prescribed antidepressants by White House physicians. This would surprise no one, given Bush's agonizing year reading Iraq briefings. Wouldn't you be depressed if you had started the war? Rumor that Bush has a long-term boyfriend. I'd never heard that rumor. The ambassador to Poland, Victor Ash. Evidence: Ash and Bush were roommates, cheerleaders, and members of the elite Skull and Bone Society together at Yale. Bush allegedly sent candy and flowers to Ash in Poland. Is it true or not? Well, we don't know. Rumor, I don't believe that one. Rumor that Bush is having a hot, steamy affair with Condoleezza Rice. Evidence: Laura Bush reportedly spent a night at the Mayflower Hotel this summer because of the affair. In a jaw-dropping Freudian slip, Condi once referred to Bush as, quote, my husband, at a dinner before correcting herself. A fair play bonus rumor is that Laura, who was distraught over George's romps with Condi, fell into a romance with an old flame described as a wealthy Texas businessman. Is this true or is it not true? Well, we don't know. We think it's maybe BS since Condi's supposed to be gay. Ooh, is she gay? Oh, I don't know. Rumor that Bush is hitting the sauce again. Evidence: nobody is that consistently stupid sober. Is this true? A relapse drunk? Well, that would never happen. Rumor: Bush started a war with Iraq on the basis of manufactured intelligence. Evidence: they didn't find any WMDs in Iraq. This is virtually the unanimous opinion of the entire civilized world. Is this true? Impossible that people would ever allow such a thing. Oh, that's meant to be a joke, I guess. Well, anyway, some of these rumors are kind of good. I wonder if any of them are actually true. Well, I guess we'll find out. I want to bring this up because we have... Oh, and one of the other things we talked about was... Tower Records. The liquidation has already begun. I was there over the weekend because I have a gift certificate, and I thought I better use it up. But I'm very sorry to see Tower go. And I'm sorry to see that Beehive activity at 16th and Broadway is now going to be substantially diminished when both the bookstore and the record store close. You're still going to have the theater. I think that's under separate ownership, and I think you're still going to have the theater. And I think you're still going to have the restaurant, Tower Cafe, which is also, I believe, under separate ownership. But you're not going to have... So it was always fun to go see a movie, go get something to eat, and then, you know, walk over to the bookstore and see what was new and look at the magazines and all that other stuff. And I think it's a sad moment. It's a sad, certainly a sad moment for Tower, and a very sad moment for Sacramento, and a sad moment, a very strong a statement on the music business. People don't go to record stores anymore. They don't go to music stores. They're downloading. It's a graying clientele. You know what they're doing in New York, the opera. If you want to go to the opera in New York, at the Metropolitan Opera, you could spend like $400 on a ticket. And what they are doing is they are making $20 and $25 tickets available, good seats. Not, you know, not the kind where you need oxygen, but really good seats, because they realize they've got to bring in, they've got to create younger audiences. They have to be able to bring in people. It used to be, and those of you who are teachers, I would love to hear from you. It used to be that you could get... you know, some arts training in school. There were music classes, remember, and singing classes and voice classes and art classes. And in some of the fancier schools, you could have film classes and all kinds of stuff. And the arts programs have been so substantially reduced in a lot of schools. So that the place that would spawn the audience for good things, for the best things about us, I don't know where those audiences are going to come from. I think there's often a natural affinity for what is quality. But I think it's we're not bringing those people in the way we once did. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. In a related but unrelated push, there is a push for official English now. One of the things that we talked about last week, I had calls from some of you saying that you really get bent out of shape when you're calling somewhere and they say press 1 for English and press 2 for Spanish. You don't like it. Well, it means that things have changed, doesn't it? And but there's so much rising concern over immigration that it has prompted a lot of cities and states this year to try to make English the official language. Well, I'm going to ask you a question. How do you feel about that? Can you legislate making something the official language? And what's that going to change? You know, it's like saying you make McDonald's the official hamburger, so what? You make English the official language, so what? Can any of us actually spell anymore? Are any of us actually using English correctly anymore? Those of us who are native speakers? Do subjects and verbs agree with each other anymore? Theirs has replaced their R. 349-1320. So before we make English the official language of this country, maybe we ought to learn how to speak it ourselves. What do you think? And those of you who are English teachers, if you have some egregious examples, I'd like to hear it. Now, I am all for the creative use of language. I think it's great. And I'm a big advocate of salting language. And I wish I could use more of it on the air, but I can't, or they'll haul me off to the FCC pokey. And I love to see colorful use of language, and I like, and particularly listening to rap. Some of the rap, I don't hear a lot of it, but it's really poetry. And I did study poetry one summer with Allen Ginsberg in Boulder. So I appreciate a really creative use of the language. But before we push to make English the official language, if we do push for it, what is that going to do? How are you going to implement that? You haul somebody off to the pokey if they're speaking some other language in the workplace? Shouldn't we be encouraging Americans to speak as many languages as possible? How about encouraging Americans to speak English well? Do you think that ever is going to happen anytime soon? And how about if we learn how to spell? Wouldn't that be nice? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. You see signs all the time that are completely misspelled. Big signs. It's like nobody cares. Even though, guess what? Spell check is on most computers, isn't it? David in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, David.
Hola, Enid. ¿Cómo estás?
Muy bien, gracias. ¿Y usted?
Muy bien, gracias. No, actually, I was calling because I am a school teacher in the elementary grades. And, you know, I think we should be encouraging people to speak as many languages as possible. I mean, I have 9 different languages in my classroom, at least what they speak at home.
What 9 languages do you have?
We have English, of course, Spanish, Cantonese, Tagalog, Mien, Hmong, Punjabi, and one of the Asian languages, Mandarin, and I think that's 8.
What's Mien? Is that Cambodia?
No, Mien and the Hmong are both the indigenous people of Southeast Asia.
Well, the Hmong I know. Oh, but are those two different?
Mien are different language, different culture slightly, but they're very similar to the Hmong, and they were the same situation. They fought on the U.S. side during the Vietnam War and were rounded up into camps, and we have a lot of Mians.
What year are you teaching?
Second grade.
Second grade. So are these kids very fluent in English?
It depends. Most of them are if they started kindergarten here in English. But we do get newcomers still. I have one little girl that just came from Mexico, and of course it takes, all the research says it takes 5 to 7 years with everything right, I mean, everything going well with good instruction and good models of English to learn it proficiently. So that's another thing. I mean, if it takes 5 to 7 years and we're constantly getting newcomers, which is fine, or even at kindergarten, it takes a long time before they should even be expected to reach the same standards. But that's kind of a separate issue. About the language, I learned Spanish and now I speak it fluently, but it took me years and years, and actually until I met and married my wife, she's Panamanian, I met her in Panama, I never would have become fluent if I didn't start speaking every day. But the thing is, she works really hard at speaking English and she's getting better. But when I hear people say things like, she shouldn't have a button to press for Spanish or stuff like that, it just frustrates me because it really is hard as an adult to learn a language, and I find
it is hard. I forget 5 or 6 or 7, but very poorly now. And unless you're using it all the time, it's like a muscle. And I was trying to learn Italian, and it's my fault because I don't practice it enough, and I'm not doing enough on my own. And I had, but I learned Spanish in high school,
right?
And I was learning Italian because I love to go to Italy, and every time I go, I try to do a little bit better. And then I don't really continue with the way I should, and it's been really hard because it's so close to to Spanish that it's easy to get both of those languages confused.
Exactly, and that's kind of my point. Unless you have to speak it every day over a long period of time, you're not going to become the level of fluency that you need, for example, like for complex phone conversations or for even like on the ballot. People talk about, why do they need to have it in Spanish? Well, I speak fluent Spanish, read it, I understand it, been speaking it for 15 years. But if I were reading a ballot measure in Spanish, I would have a really hard time. So I understand why people, although they have to learn English to pass the citizens test, would want the ballot in their own language. Is very complex. The same thing when I talk to someone on the phone, I could press 2 for Spanish and be okay, but if it's a really complex...
if it's a legal issue, if
right.
It's what something... Yes, I understand that. And anyway, what do you accomplish when you make English the official language?
That's my
what
point.
Do you do? You haul them off to the pokey if they start speaking another language in a public place?
It's just rhetoric, and it makes people feel... brings out the worst in people.
I'll tell you what I think it means. I think it means that we feel that a tipping point has happened and that we are overwhelmed with this newness of another culture that has become as dominant as it has. That, I think, is what all this means. It's a meaningless exercise to push for official English. One town even goes so far as if you rent to illegals. I mean, they're really, if you rent to illegals, if you do this, you do that, everybody, you know, they've criminalized all this behavior. But I really think that's what it means. I think we just feel overwhelmed that the way of life, that the Ozzie and Harriet land, that our Leave It to Beaver kind of land, that country that we thought we had has changed substantially.
Well, don't you think that happens every generation, every time there's a new wave, and it takes like 2 generations and 4 people are forgiving enough of whether it's the Italian...
Well, before they're able to absorb it.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's what's happening, but it's going to continue, and we ought to just make the best of it and accept it. And.
But I would like to see the numbers. Well, yes, I agree with you, because first of all, we can't exist without the immigration, certainly the illegal immigration. And I'd like to know what the numbers were, the proportional numbers, when the Jews came in around the turn of the century, the Italians came in, when there was that big wave, the Irish came in, when there was that big wave of immigration. I wonder if proportionately it was greater, same as, or lesser than what we are facing today. I really thank you very much for the call, David, and thanks for the good work you're doing. 349-1320-866-620-613-20. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Gracias, Inad.
De nada.
Okay, well, you know, I was going to speak a little German, but I forgot how to say traffic in German, so never mind. Anyway,
somebody will call in and tell us how to say traffic in German.
Please do. Thank you very much. Okay, 79 degrees. We're sitting out. Southbound 99, not sitting at all. Doing its fine movement. No incidents. Happy day. And Enid Live continues at AM 1320. Sacramento's left.
We could say Autobahn. We could say Einfahrt and Eisfahrt. That in German, that means getting onto the Autobahn and getting off the Autobahn.
Das ist sehr gut, bitte, Ihnen.
Danke sehr.
According to Enid, we'll set you free.
Really?
Call her now at 349-1320.
Oh, hi. How are you?
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sam.
Lifestyle choices.
The Republican base, which when it comes to those field cons, they're wondering, are the Democrats going to get the extra cream, so to speak? Or are they just going to stay home and not vote?
I guess, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago, the evangelicals, the fundamentalists, they just didn't vote.
It was very much kept in the church.
And, you know, what would Jesus do? Well, he would cut taxes.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next, burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Kaida Sell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes region for folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on an extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. A little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
No fighting. We got the refugees. No fighting. No fighting. Shakira, Shakira.
I never really knew that she could dance like this. She make a man want to speak Spanish. Como se llama? Bonita. Because
Shakira, Shakira.
Shakira from Colombia. 628 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7. And we're talking about the language because there's a push for official English. And a lot of places are trying to push for making... there are all these ballot measures. There's one pending in Arizona. Related bills have passed houses of representatives in Pennsylvania, Delaware, and Michigan. State senates have not taken up, but at least five cities and towns have approved ordinances. Eight are considering them, making English the official language. So what? I mean, what are they going to do? Give you a parking ticket if you speak some other language? I don't get this. What is the point? And how about if native speakers learn how to speak it accurately and well? You think that's a possibility? Carrie and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, how are you?
I am very well, thank you.
First, I wanted to speak about the English button, but I have to take a moment to mourn the Tau Records thing. I used to work at Tau Records in my day and when I was younger, and I know I've gone to the tower that I used to work at, and there are still a couple people that still work there, and this was like 15 years ago, so I feel really bad for those people. It's almost a way of life for a lot of them.
It is, and you know, if you would walk in, they were so knowledgeable. That staff knew about books. If you asked about books, they knew about them, or they appeared to, and music the same. I got a Madeleine Peyrou CD, and there were two of them, and I asked which one I should get, and he said, this is the one that really sells the most, so I got that one.
Yeah,
I hope I did the right thing.
It is a loss to our culture in a lot of people's lives. It's just kind of sad.
And it's going to be sad. It's going to be sad for 16th and Broadway, because you could go over there. I remember walking into Willie's one time, and I saw Tom Hayden, when he was then married to Jane Fonda, munching on a hot dog and reading the Irish Times. You never know who you'd run into on 16th and Broadway. You could walk into the Tower Cafe. Well, Cafe and the movie, the movie theater will still continue on, but you know, you could walk across the street and paw through the books and buy a magazine or get a book, get a CD. It was always nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm calling about the English button, and it's really a subject close to my heart. My master's is a multilingual ed, and I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. It really is a fear within the dominant culture in this nation, which is, we can say it's white Christian men, you know, middle class and English speaking. And there's a huge fear that they're losing that dominance, and that's where it comes from. It's basically, like you said, it is a futile effort, because it's not going to change.
I'll tell you though, I will tell you one thing that I find very frustrating. When I'm calling some agency, some store, some business, you know, whatever, I don't have a native speaker, It is so tough, because if their English is just sort of dicey, it's impossible. It's like talking to those techs in India who speak an English-like language, and neither one of you can understand each other.
Well, the one thing it can do is we can look at it this way. It's a positive for you in that it can give us native English speakers what it's like for everyone else who are not native English speakers, what it's like for them. And so it's a little bit of learning and knowledge and learning that, you know, we've got to have empathy for those that don't speak the native language of a particular country.
Yo, that's good. That's really good.
So, you know, it's a moment for all of us. So,
What about the people?
Many people have to go through every day in this country.
What about the people who live here who are native speakers who can barely speak it very well?
Well, you know, I mean, I think that a lot of that has to do with, say, a native Spanish speaker here, you know, is living and is able to function within a lot of small communities that are heavily Latino, and I think that's a wonderful thing. And with the problem with this country is that we need to get away from having to force people into assimilation and allow for that acculturation. We don't have to blotch out their culture and input the American culture, which is what this, you know, initiative is trying to do. I mean, any proposition having to do with this is basically that's what it is. They want to come in and pick up the American culture, which is white Christian men's culture, and to annihilate this completely. And when that's not happening, we have these little communities of cultures that are able to flourish and maintain their own culture and live without maybe acquiring English as a second language. It scares them because they're dominant. The dominant culture, and they want everyone to pick up their own, and it's a threat of power to them, and that's what's really behind all of it.
So a lot of fear, even though what we talked about fear in the second hour on Becoming Fearless with Arianna Huffington. So it's a lot of fear. So here we're going to pull a Dick Cheney. He's scared. That man is a scared man, and so the more scared he gets, the more tough he gets, even though he's a chicken hawk.
Right.
Same kind of a thing. We're going to have these ordinances, and we're going to, English has got to be the official language.
Right. Well, for those of us that appreciate other cultures other than our own.
All right, let's talk about something that's controversial, Ebonics. What about Ebonics?
That is a valid language. I mean, I work in multilingual education, and I think any controversy regarding Ebonics is really the heart of it. It is, again, fear of that, which is different if we validate this language.
Well, here's my take on Ebonics. It's great, and it's part of culture and everything, but you ought to also learn the dominant language, because if you want to get somewhere and successfully go through navigate the job interviews and everything else, you're going to need that skill.
Well, I think that's self-evident for anyone that has experiences.
Well, Bill Cosby doesn't think it's so self-evident always.
No. Right, but those that want to function and navigate within this dominant culture, which, again, to me, it's all about elevating all the other cultures and dominant, you know, subdominant cultures up to the dominant and making it equal. But if we're going to function within a dominant culture, those minority cultures need to try and navigate as best they can until we can create equality. And that's going to be coming, you know, come from understanding things like Ebonics and not, you know, looking at it as a negative.
Well, Ebonics has actually worked the other way around, where a lot of the white culture has adopted Ebonics to seem cool. Carrie, I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320, 866-626, 1320. We're talking about the language. Push for official English in a lot of places, where a lot of states, a lot of cities are pushing to make English the official language. Fred in Rancho, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Fred.
Hi. I just wanted to weigh in on this language issue. I think that, for one thing, we shouldn't make English the official language just as an acknowledgement of the disgrace of how we've treated our Native Americans. In the state of California, for example, before the European invasion, so to speak, there were more language groups in the state of California than there were anywhere else in the world. You can read this in a book called Ishi, the Last Wild American Indian in North America. But as late as just a few generations ago, were acquiring, like, Cherokee Indians. Their children went to the American schools. They were forced to wash their mouths out with soap if they tried to speak their own Native American language. And we have a really kind of a huge problem in the world in that many minority languages are going extinct at a very rapid rate. I mean, there's thousands of languages that are on the verge of extinction now.
And also, we don't push our students to learn other languages the way other countries do. The U.S. was so dominant in the last century that there was a huge push in a lot of certainly in Europe. A lot of European countries for kids to learn English at a young age. I think even in Russia, and so you go to these countries and I'll tell you something else. When you can speak a lot of different languages, there are words in other languages that we don't have. There are thoughts that are easy to crystallize that we don't have. It really enriches your whole thinking process if you're able to speak more than one language.
Well, and absolutely, and it presents a poor image of us overseas when a lot of Americans don't understand other languages or appreciate their cultures. Instead of slowing down or asking the native speaker to slow down, they ask him to speed up. And if you know a few words in another language, it really warms the heart of the people that you're trying to...
Yeah, and also when Americans encounter people who don't speak English that well, they always speak slow and like they're talking to a dope. Can you tell me? Oh, never mind. Fred, I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320, 866-626, 1320. Curtis in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Curtis.
Hi. Yeah, you know, I think this is all about it's not about culture necessarily. I think that it's a deliberate right-wing attempt to disenfranchise voters so that they don't understand what they're reading. Because there was a couple callers back who talked about that. He said that, you know, it's hard for him to read in Spanish, even though he speaks and writes. And when you can't read and comprehend what you're reading, you can't actually make critical thinking decisions. And that's exactly what the people who are pushing the simple messages on television and radio, that's exactly what they want. They don't want people to be able to form critical thought patterns.
You think this is a deliberate plot by the right wing to keep people who might challenge them away from the polls and away from... Is that what you're saying?
Plot. No, it's not a plot, and it's not an attempt to keep them away from the polls. It's a deliberate attack on a critical thinking. In other words, you can put out a message on Univision in Spanish that...
I don't think it's a deliberate... I think the people are just... I think these people in these various jurisdictions are scared. They don't like that things have changed. They don't like to have to deal with people speaking languages that they don't understand. They think that if they pass an ordinance, it's all going to be the way it was when Leave it to Beaver was on TV, when Ozzie and Harriet was...
You know, you keep asking the question, Enid, whether... What is this about? Are you going to get a ticket for speaking Spanish? That's not what it's about. What it's about is taking away non-English literature for the people who are reading about ballot measures and political...
Do you really think that? You think that,
Absolutely.
Curtis?
Absolutely. It's all about taking away anything other than an English translation of ballot measures and election...
Let's put that out there and see if people agree with you. And I thank you for calling us today. 349-1320 is Curtis Wright. He says it's all about taking away the ability of these groups that are not big English speakers to actually participate, I think is what he's really saying. 349-1320, 866-620, 613-20. I just think people are scared, and they want it to go back to, they feel overwhelmed by this influx, and they want it to go back to the way it used to be. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. We do have a little lows today, right around 55. We're going to see highs tomorrow around 81, but 79 here in the River City. Vehicles looking good. The highway's looking good. Eastbound I-80 just east of Norwood Avenue. 3-car crash, that's about it. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Enid Goldstein, a sign of intelligent life in the political universe. On AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hello, citizens of the world.
Want to keep up on what's going on in your community? Go to the events page at 1320leftchannel.com.
The first step on the road back to reality.
You'll find out about political happenings, cultural events, concerts, and more.
Really? They thought of everything.
Don't just sit there. Do something and make a difference.
Make a difference. If we don't act now, it's going to be too late.
Find out how you can get involved.
And be sure to bookmark it.
The events page at 1320leftchannel.com.
This is an AM 1320 Left Channel action calendar. The film company Shiny Object, in conjunction with Fools Foundation Art Gallery at 19th and K Streets in Sacramento, presents an ongoing weekly series of film screenings of independent films, documentaries, and some LGBT interest titles on Friday nights at 7 p.m. Coming Friday, October 13th, Independent America, the two-lane search for mom and pop. This film uncovers the growing opposition to big box retail across the U.S. and the often desperate fight being waged by independent retailers to stay alive. Award-winning journalists and filmmakers Hanson Hossein and Heather Hughes travel through 32 states looking for an American unchained by corporate retail and find individuals banding together to preserve not only their livelihoods but also the life of their communities. Independent America, the two-lane search for mom and pop on Friday, October 13th at 7 p.m. at the Fools Foundation Art Gallery, 19th and K Streets. Admission is $5. More information is on the events page at 1320leftchannel.com.
New rule. Jewish people have to start. The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to. Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Sure, you listen to AM 1320. Sometimes you call in. That's great. You vote. I'm very proud of you. You're doing the right thing. But sometimes you need to get out there and pound the pavement, and you need to knock on some doors, maybe make a few phone calls.
Please volunteer in the upcoming November 2006 election. The Sacramento Democratic Party has three opportunities for you to volunteer in the area. The first is the Northeast Sacramento Democratic Headquarters at 4142 Sunrise Boulevard in Fair Oaks. The phone number is 961-8877. The other is the Elk Grove Democratic Campaign Headquarters at 31 2137 Dwight Road, Suite 500 in Elk Grove, just north of Laguna Boulevard. Their phone number is 421-0202. And finally, the Phil Angelides campaign, which is located at the corner of 21st and N Street. And their phone number is 448-1998. Please volunteer in this very important upcoming election.
Get out there. Action is necessary.
The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Monday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7 o'clock. We're talking about language. There's a push for English to be the official language, and it has passed in Pennsylvania, a couple places, about three places in Pennsylvania, one place in Missouri, one place in North Carolina. It's pending in places like Nashville. Place in Florida, Cape Coral, Florida, Carpentersville, Illinois, Farmers Branch, Texas. So except for Nashville, pretty much small places, small towns where that I apparently feel overwhelmed. What does this signify to you? And our last caller believes that it's sort of a right-wing way to keep newcomers, minorities, and so forth out of the dialogue. Douglas in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Douglas.
Oh, hi. Thank you.
Welcome.
Yes, thanks again. There were a couple of things. Robert Heinlein said once in one of his novels that communication isn't just radio and TV and whatnot, it's people. So anything that controls people's access to information can be used against them.
Yeah, but you presumably, if you know how to read English, nothing is kept from you. And if you can speak Spanish, your ability to understand the dominant culture will affect how much of it you absorb. So if you and there are all these Spanish publications as well. If we're talking about Spanish,
Hello.
Yes.
Oh, still there? Yeah. Well, I was just thinking, a lot of these things kind of fit together. Remember when the war in Lebanon was going on recently, and
yeah,
there was all that business about our stranded travelers, and how the government was really reluctant about doing anything to get them home in a timely and comfortable fashion.
Right.
And whenever anything happens with anything to do with transportation, there's always an overreaction, and people are put through the ringer for
Yeah, but what does this have to do with language?
I think it's part of the same thing. They don't want people getting over there and seeing things for themselves. They want people to...
You've got your radio... Douglas, you've got to have your radio down. You can't have your radio on.
I don't.
Oh, okay. I'm hearing something from somewhere. All right, go ahead.
They want people to stick to the information channels they provide for them, and they don't want people getting too much information from uncontrolled sources.
Yeah, but I don't see how this fits with what you're saying. We have the internet. You can get information from everywhere, and if you're not an English speaker, you can get it in the dominant language of your country, of your native language.
Yeah,
I just think
to do something within their internet neutrality too. They're trying to cut down on that.
Yeah, but I don't really see. I'm not agreeing with you on this one. I do thank you for the call though. 349-1320-866-626-1320. We have a lot of conspiracists out there. Donnie in Florin. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Donnie.
This is Bonnie. Are you calling?
Oh, Bonnie. I'm sorry. We thought it was done. Sorry about that. Hi, Bonnie.
Anyway, I wanted to say I appreciated Arietta Huffington. She's just amazing. I mean, she was a one-time Republican, but she is really one that lives by principle. And regarding language, she is the most impeccable language from someone from Greece, for heaven's sake. Her language, her English is just impeccable. As opposed to Arnold, who, with all his multi-millions, hasn't bothered to update his English at all.
Wait. What about our president talking about...
Oh, well.
In the press conference this morning, I heard him talking about nuclear and peninsula. Peninsula. It's in the Korean Peninsula.
Oh, my Lord. He's off the page. I mean, listen, we can't even
I think we have to say that English has to be the official language of the president, and we haul him off to the pokey if he mispronounces the language.
By all means.
There you go, Bonnie. All right. You're welcome. Thank you. 349-1320. Every time he says nuclear, he gets hauled off to the pokey. He gets fined. You know what? And the money will go to liberal causes. There it is. Okay. All right. I have to say this. We haven't had time. I want to get into health issues, and we haven't had a time to do it because Castro, as I said earlier, is reported to have cancer, but now they're denying it. But U.S. intelligence reports now say that his condition appears terminal. Well, I hate to tell this to anybody, particularly in the state of California, but all of our conditions are terminal. We just don't know when that's going to happen. That's all. But in California, no one dies unless they smoke or eat red meat. But they're saying anyway that his condition is terminal. Doctors are urging more playtime for children. I think this is great. This business about kids being scheduled with play dates, I have never seen anything like this in my life. These kids are more scheduled than you or I. And here, and I don't know about you guys, but when I was growing up, we didn't have this. We didn't have play dates. We just played. It wasn't, you know, you didn't schedule this. You didn't put this in an appointment book anywhere. You just played, and you found people or you didn't. And I live way out in the country, and there was nobody to play with. But here's what they're finding, that if you have this unscheduled time to do nothing in, kids, this is where the kids learn, they learn creativity here. They learn to exercise their imagination. Instead of parking them in front of a TV set, the Universal Babysitter, or all these videos, or one class after another class after another class, just let them play. I think this is really common sense, and I'm glad to see that it's coming from the medical establishments, this is from the American Academy of Pediatrics. I'm delighted to hear this. And if you're somebody who's dealing with osteoporosis or potential osteoporosis, guess what? Scientists are linking cola consumption to a risk of osteoporosis in women over 60. But you know what? I'll bet it's not great for your bones even earlier than that. So just be careful. Is it worth getting high on the caffeine if it causes bone loss? That would be my question. 349-1320 866 626 1320. You could be high, but you got no bones left. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the some people in Congress have. Well, never mind. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left.
Okay.
With Lisa West. She's going to say, this is what the traffic is, because she's got a terrible cold.
Well, yeah, this is what the traffic's all about. But you know, I just want to mention that it's
kind of like Rosanna Dana. This is, yeah.
Oh my God, Eden, let me check this out for you.
It's always something.
Yeah, it's always something. It's always about the traffic. And Congress, by the way, I think that they're high on more than caffeine.
Their own importance, I think.
And I'm pretty sure some of the people on the road are the same. Though southbound I-5 just north of 25th, that's a 3-car crash. Otherwise, incident 3 after that. We're going to see highs tomorrow about 81. We're at 79. And Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
It's talk radio for the left of us. It makes it so much more interesting. Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
I'm taking care of myself, making the decisions that are right for me. We're informed, prepared, just in case.
We're starting a family, and we're so excited.
I'm using protection.
Definitely. Getting tested, too.
To be sure. At Planned Parenthood, we are here for you.
With high-quality personal care.
At an affordable cost. Take care of yourself.
For a wide range of health information and services, call 1-800-230-PLAN.
What's your secret?
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $100. $750. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Halls Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. SMUD financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
Philharmonic opens its 10th anniversary season on Saturday, October 14th at 8 p.m. in the Community Center Theater with a world premiere of Night Fox, a new work by world-famous composer and conductor Andre Previn. Commissioned by the Philharmonic in honor of internationally acclaimed painter and Sacramentan Wayne Thiebaud. The concert will be repeated on Sunday, October 15th in a 3 p.m. matinee at the Mondavi Center for the Performing Arts in Davis. Previn's musical versatility has made him familiar to millions of people around the world. Wayne Thiebaud gained national prominence in the 1960s with his sensuous images of cakes, pies, and other common objects. He is an esteemed faculty alumnus of Sacramento State University and UC Davis. Other works in the program include works by Dvorak, Ravel, and Haydn. Tickets are available at the Community Center box office, 916-264-5181, and the Mondavi Center at 866-754-ARTS.
Yeah. For a good time, call Enid at 349-1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a little girl who be just what I be? Yeah. Woo! Yeah, let's get in it, dog. Come on. Yeah. Woo! Now what goes up must come down, but we ain't coming down. It be them same old clowns giving you pound, pretending they proud, but when you leave time, they go around running their mouth.
Like a hater, man. Talking bad about a player. 6:55 on the Monday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7, 3 to 7, weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Let's go right to the phones. Barbara in Yuba City, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I have 3 points I'd like to squeeze in. First of all, with reference to their feeling overwhelmed by things that never were, I must remind everybody that when they wrote the Constitution, there was quite a battle as to whether it should be written in German or in English.
In what? In I'm sorry, we lost you. In German or in English?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
That's right. And secondly, as with reference to they feel overwhelmed, I don't remember a time when there wasn't an enormous amount of people who didn't speak the English language. And I also think that this particular thing is a political ploy to appeal to those Americans who are egotistical enough to think that our superiority in all areas would enable us or make us or make it okay for us to bomb anyone we wish. And thirdly, I think that people should really Google, those who can, Google the 14 warning signs of fascism, and you will see there one of them is an excessive nationalism. And I don't really know how in the world they would ever enforce this. So.
I think that I don't know if you're saying it's one of the warning signs of fascism, but I would add
not that specifically, but an excessive amount of nationalism.
I think that the nationalism becomes excessive also when we feel like we're going down the tubes, and I think that there is the more you feel like you're declining, the more you try to pump yourself up and say, well, aren't we great? Isn't our medical system just wonderful when it's in tatters? Isn't this a fabulous country when it's becoming a shell of itself, and so on. Excuse me, I think that's what you see in the administration when they're going to be, you know, militaristic and they're going to go after every bad guy in the world. Meanwhile, if someone actually has weapons of mass destruction, they don't exactly know what to do about it.